give up.
He had a seizure.
Pain never stops.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know.
Someone you know has lupus.
But there is hope. For information, contact the Lupus Foundation of America at 888-38-LUPUS or lupus.org.
If you're like most people, you have at least one old TV or computer gathering dust in your closet. What should you do with them? Now the St. Louis region has a way to properly handle outdated, broken, or unwanted electronics. Through eCycle St. Louis, you can bring old TVs, computers, radios, and other electronics to a drop-off site near you. Visit www.ecyclestlewis.org for recycling locations and to find out more about reusing and donating electronics. Just think of the closet space you'll save.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder. When a National Guard or Reserve member is called to duty overseas, many times their family is left to pay bills with a smaller paycheck. The Missouri Military Families Relief Fund will assist Missouri National Guard and Reserve families in the event of a financial crisis they may face. Next year, Missouri tax forms will have a checkoff box for you to contribute to the fund. Donations are being accepted now to start the fund. The Missouri Military Family Relief Fund, a great way to say thank you to our citizen soldiers.
Medicare finally has prescription drug benefits. What does it mean for you? I'm Senator Bob Dole, and on January 1st, 2006, all Medicare beneficiaries, regardless of income, will have drug coverage. Explore your options now so you can take full advantage of this program. Enrollment begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit www.medicare.gov to get all the facts.
This message is endorsed by Easter Seals, providing services for children and adults with disabilities.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of an earthquake may be impossible to avoid, but you can avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. After an earthquake, salespeople go from door to door in damaged neighborhoods offering cleanup or repair services. While many of these business people are honest and reputable, others are not. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. Get everything in writing. Demand references and check them out. A catastrophe greatly magnifies the opportunity for fraud. Don't be tempted to conspire in an insurance claim. Insurance fraud is a felony. For more tips about avoiding disaster fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vock, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I discover? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I discover?
It is time for us to use
to you. You were born without.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brother.
Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. That would be the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. My goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Huh. Huh. You know what? It's just amazing what happens as more time passes by. One of the things that I have really felt in this past election week is this whole concept of truth, this whole concept of trust. And I think I felt on a local level something that is prevalent throughout the national level. And let me share with you what that is. What that is this belief, this understanding, this worldview, that people don't have to be responsive to their constituents. It's this colonialistic worldview. And there's also, there's this colonialistic piece, but there's also this absence of truthiness. You know, it's like, let me try to make it clear. George W. Special Prosecutor Pat Fitzgerald, on Wednesday. And he filed this late Wednesday. That he filed that he has evidence that during the course of his 2-year probe, that several White House officials conspired to discredit former Ambassador Joseph Wilson. He is a critic of the administration's pre-war intelligence. And this is the first time that the special counsel has acknowledged that White House officials are alleged to have engaged in a coordinated effort to undercut the former ambassador's credibility by disseminating classified information that would have contradicted Wilson's public statements. Now, what does all of that legal talk mean? What it means is this. When George W. Bush looked you in the eye and said that he does not tolerate leakers, and let me put it to another spin. George W. Bush has gone after vigorously, legally, in a scary, scary way, those who released the information that he was spying on us because we don't tolerate leakers. We don't tolerate leakers. Here's the thing. What the special prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald has said is that, you know what? The leaker is George W. Bush. This goes all the way to the top. The ship leaks, not from the bottom. The ship leaks. The George W. Bush boat leaks from the top. Now, what does that mean? Remember, there were so many of you all. Y'all got on my nerves. We're bringing integrity to the White House. We had a man that lied about cheating on his wife. What are the odds of that? And how did that impact your life? Well, George W. Bush is bringing integrity to this office. George W. Bush is going to have the most ethical administration. I am. What's that Texas phrase that they use? A straight shooter. A straight shooter. Some people would call a straight shooter a criminal, too. George W. Now, understand, I'm not saying that it was illegal for George W. Bush to release or order that information that is classified to be declassified. That's one of the major jobs or one of the major abilities of a guy that sits in the White House. They can declassify information in the blink of an eye. But see, normally what happens with guys that sit in the White House, most of the stuff is classified as opposed to being declassified. So we got to look at this all the way through. George W. Bush lies to us when he says that he doesn't, that releasing information is problematic. Leaking information is unacceptable. What was that phrase that George used? Dictatorships are wrong unless I get to be the dictator. Well, leaking information apparently is wrong unless I get to be the leaker. You know, it's like a kid saying, well, cheating on an exam is wrong unless I get to cheat. Well, beating your wife is wrong unless I get to beat. Well, stealing is wrong unless I get to steal. No, all of them are wrong all day long, 24 hours a day, no matter who does it. George W. Bush is the person who declassified the information And understand, we have to also walk this thing all the way through. Okay, we have a guy in the White House who's taking classified information and leaking it. Is that a problem? Let's look at what he wanted to do with the information. Was he declassifying the information to inform the American public about something that we need to know about? To clarify a specific issue, to bring the American public in on his plan to run after these weapons of mass destruction, to bring truthfulness or clarity or transparency to his administration? Is that why he is leaking the information? In a word, no. He is leaking this information for the sole purpose of discrediting a man who is making his administration look bad. And a man who may, who might, who could thwart his efforts to prosecute a war. An illegal war. A preemptive war. A hugely expensive war. And a morally reprehensive war. That is why he leaked the information. Y'all got a problem with that? Y'all got a problem with that? I do. Y'all got a problem? I do. Huh. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Y'all understand what I'm saying? The guy that's in the White House authorize the leaking of classified information for the sole purpose of discrediting a guy who was making the administration's efforts to prosecute an illegal war. He was making George W. Bush look bad. He was making George W. Bush look bad. That's the problem. That's the problem. Are you scared yet? So the question is, comes down to, back to this round to, the issue of trust. Do you, should you, trust an elected official that has represented to you that they would behave in a certain way once they get into office, and then they behave in the absolute opposite way? Of course not. That's just basic, right? Of course you don't. And I guess I would like to call upon all of you, what do you call yourselves, all you pro-life folks? People that are so, life is the most important thing. And you know, I don't have a problem with that philosophy. But I just find it interesting that you're riding your high moral, the train that you're taking to your moral righteousness is the George Bush lie train. You're hopping on one of the most dishonest, deceptive, destructive man-childs that have ever been in the White House. And you're going to tell me about you're going to preach to me, try to preach to me about morality. You are on the SS Immoral Express. And you want to tell me, you want to preach to me about what should be done in the name of God. This is a guy that you all put in the White House because of his close relationship with God. How do you know he has a close relationship with God? Because he told you that. and you believed it. If this is a close relationship with God, Jesus, help us. If this is the proof and the evidence of a man that has a close, walking, personal relationship with God, heaven help us. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. I'll be back. But she doesn't hear a word that he says. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. She'll be praised. Whatever happens, don't let go.
Because We Care drawing. Be the
good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with looking at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. Eastbound 44 from Antire all the way to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from 141 to 270 is on the move. Northbound 270 at 44, look for that traffic to be building. Eastbound 70 at Cave Springs and 79, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way into New Halls Ferry looks good. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, there's a disabled vehicle in the right shoulder. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge is running smoothly. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good this hour. Westbound 64 to 5570 split is looking good this morning. Northbound Route 3 at the 5570 split, no problems to report there. Old Halls Ferry between Dunn Road and Whisper Lake, they're widening the roadways, and there are several other construction projects going on at this hour, so just use caution still as they're wrapping up before the morning rush. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT has begun improvements that will soon make I-44 smoother and safer. This will take time, so visit MoDOT.org before you hit the road to locate I-44 work zones. MoDOT.org. Arrive alive. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, warmer, partly cloudy in the morning. Becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. Chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. They may be severe with damaging wind and large hail with a high around 80 this evening. Breezy, much colder, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. And a chance after midnight with a low in the mid-30s. For Saturday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, mostly clear. Areas of frost late with a low in the mid-30s. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
I went down to the county fair. They had a talking chicken there. I paid a quarter just to see what she had to say. Well, she looked around and she scratched the ground and she made kind of a squawking sound. Well, what she said, I'll remember to my dying day. She said,
"The Pepper's got a brand new show. 335-8080.
Go see Jim Stafford. Don't be chicken.
Hello out there, radio. radio, man. This is Pastor A.A. Boyd, a proud pastor of the Holy Olivet Baptist Church. I come on this radio station every Saturday, the Glory Time broadcast from 7 to 7:30. Will you turn me on? You'll certainly be glad you did. And God bless you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vock, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me right here on WGNU 920 AM on Friday nights for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Yeah, right.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Little touch of star quality. And if that's right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful sound, I love you. And if I need a moment's rest, is your love of a very best.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. Get up, and get to me. We have much to talk about. In our Looking Black segment, we are going to have Deborah Mathis. Oh, you don't want to miss this, former national correspondent. It's going to be a good one. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Charles, good morning.
Yes, so Stuart Libby is squealing like a greased pig with a dagger in his heart.
Wait a minute. Yes, Scooter is scooting along rather rapidly.
Oh. Yeah, I kind of, your remark regarding this God thing that George Bush.
Remember he rode in on the Godmobile?
Well, Liz, he did ride in. His God was telling him. And his God was behind him.
Oh, where are you going with this?
Well, because what you have to understand is God is a title, and gods have names.
Where are you going with this?
He refused to tell you that his God that he worshiped, name is Lucifer.
Ouch.
So, people, what you have to understand, he calls himself a Christian. And you have to take a look at the Christian religion and the history of the Christian religion. They brought us over on the slave ship Jesus. So,
all right, now
you bowing down to this blonde-haired, blue-eyed person out of Africa?
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I find it highly amusing. I've been flipping around trying to get
this,
the general media
Steve,
response to this.
Steve, I think the technical term for that, it's a hoot.
It sure is, because you know what? They're playing it off as the media's fault. Bush needed to get his message out there. The message turned out to be a lie, didn't it?
Well, in all fairness, Steve, you know, let's be fair and balanced here. Most of their messages are lie. Why would this lie not get out?
Well, you know what? Talk about fair and balanced. You know, it seems to me they're more interested in Cynthia McKinney right now.
Isn't that wicked? And this is why the Democrats ain't no good. This is why, because the Democrats are calling her a distraction as well.
You know, and one last thing, you know, on a deeper level, this reaches right into these supporters' living rooms, because what are their kids going to say? I mean, what kid's going to turn around when they're watching TV reports on all this and their parents are saying, oh, it's, I mean, granted, it was legal if you wanted to declassify.
That's
it,
fact. That's
you
a
know,
fact.
But what's scary is the way this man can, because I watched the clips, you know, they've been showing clips about when he condemned it all and everything.
Well, and let's be clear on what he condemned. What? Because it is absolutely true, Steve, that the guy that sits in the White House, a president, can declassify anything that he wants to. That's not the issue. The issue is that this is an administration through George Bush. George Bush has looked us in the eye and says, I condemn leakers. Leaking will not be tolerated in this administration, and it is wrong to leak for personal gain or any other reason. And who is the leaker? Who's the captain of the SS leak boat? That would be George W. Bush.
And I'll tell you what, you still think there's no connection to 9/11 with this guy? Still think that he didn't have anything to do with 9/11? Anybody that could be that sincere without blinking an eye
without,
to the world.
That's fact.
And without listening to his earpiece. Now, he has to listen to his earpiece for the other stuff, but he sure didn't have to listen to his earpiece for that one. He didn't need no notes. The man, the D student, didn't need any notes for this one.
Well, maybe we should start giving Republicans competency tests to vote for this guy.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free number is, what is that, 1-877-920-WGNU. Mr. Jones?
Yes, Miss Browns, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm outstanding.
Great, great. I want to compliment you also again and the St. Louis electorate for their election on Tuesday. However, I was talking to a quote-unquote high-level Democratic operative in reference to the voucher issue in the state of Missouri, the legislators. And his comment was, the person's comment was that people should have an alternative option as far as sending their kids to other schools. And the person was trying to justify the reason why they were doing what they were doing. And my comment was okay, so next what, we can't have police officers to live in the city. So I guess that's the justification for that. But however, can you clarify that? And then also, one of your callers the other day was calling about in reference to maybe we need to elect more Democrats. I mean, true enough, I guess, but it looks like, you know, these people seem like the same stripes. However, can you comment on that for me, please? And I'll listen to it. Okay.
I'll comment on what an operative told you about that vouchers are equal choice.
The justification for it, the reason why these legislators were voting for the
all right. Vouchers. Gotcha. We've talked about this time and time and time again. Okay. The fact of the matter is that it is not choice, because everybody cannot choose. It is not choice when you cannot go to the school that you may want to go to. It is not choice when you pick something that harms something else. That is not choice. That's harming something else. The public schools suffer as a result, financially suffer as a result of these, the ability to be able to take public money and pay for private education. And then implicit within the argument, the voucher argument, is that somehow because I'm choosing private, that it is better than public. We have to be able to compare apples to apples. And if the private schools are not required to do the same things that public schools are, i.e. accredited teachers, i.e. testing, i.e. class size, all of the things that the public schools are required to do and are evaluated upon, you cannot compare that this is a better choice. Because we shouldn't be doing it if it's not a better choice. So how do we do that? We have to be able to compare
apples to apples. And until private schools agree that they will take the same testing and be evaluated in the same way as public schools, it's not an apples to apples choice. It's a piece of propaganda that people are bowing down to. Oh, if it's a private school, it must be better. How you know that? How you know that? Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Congratulations, St. Louis, for the win.
Woo-ha!
Great job, everybody.
That's fact.
C-SPAN's first half an hour was on your same topic. One of the major papers, I think it was the Philadelphia paper, called him a leaker-in-chief. And they had about 16 calls, and the Republicans are trying to say, well, he had the right.
He
you know,
does.
Five calls are standing up for him no matter what.
But, I mean, but they're stating the obvious. Yes, George Bush has the right to declassify information. But that in doing so, he leaked it. Okay?
Okay.
He planned on leaking it. And this is the administration that says that we don't tolerate leakers. It's wrong to leak. They're going after reporters right now for leaking someone right now for leaking information to reporters about his spy plan. He says we don't leak. Leaking is wrong. Well, okay. I guess unless I get to be the leaker.
Well, that's what one of the callers was saying, you know, in rebuttal to the Republicans is that it's okay to declassify, but that's a process. You don't pick something out of something that's classified and leak that rather than leaking the whole.
You know what? I don't think that that's the best argument. I think the best argument is that he says leaking is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then if leaking is wrong, why
leaking
are you doing
wrong.
It? Why are you doing it?
That's true.
Okay, I don't want to get to leak the whole thing. No, let's just be straight down the middle here. He says leaking is wrong. It is intolerable. He is going after people that leak the information about the fact that he is spying on us illegally. Leaking is wrong. Then why did you do it?
Actually, that's the truth.
All right.
That's the truth. And it's pitiful what the Black Caucus is doing to Cynthia. They had a piece about that, too. It's just repulsive. They're telling her to quiet down, shut up. You're making too much noise.
We need to go smack.
She's trying to defend herself.
And we got to go. But thank you so much,
mm-hmm.
Barbara. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get up, get to me. Stay with me.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one's mother's light.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Austin. Embattled Representative Tom DeLay will be able to collect a pension from Congress of close to $70,000 a year. And he'll take in over $1 million in pension payouts over the next 20 years. In addition, he'll also be able to be a part of the health insurance plan that all federal retirees take part in. His benefits will not be affected even if he's convicted of campaign finance improprieties or charges that might come out of the lobbying scandal involving Jack Abramoff. Congressional pensions are financed with combined contributions of both workers and the federal government, and people become eligible at age 62 if they have in at least 5 years of service. Government pensions are also available at any age if you put in 25 years of service. DeLay will turn 59 tomorrow. Last year, he received a salary of $180,000 to be majority leader. And Dateline Washington. A watchdog group that keeps tabs on the broadcast media says many local television news operations are carrying stories that are not news, but instead are corporate-sponsored video releases designed to garner promotion for brands or products. The Center for Media and Democracy says it has found 77 instances where such paid stories were put into newscasts across the country, and they're charging that they break the bond of trust between broadcast operations and the public they're supposed to be serving. Most of the stations are part of large corporate-owned operations, meaning Fox, Sinclair, Clear Channel, and Viacom. When stations use such pre-produced segments, they save money by not having a local staffer do any of the investigative work. Fox 2 here in St. Louis was one of the stations mentioned as being guilty of the practice. Last October, it presented a story on how to plan a safe Halloween for kids and featured a report by a Julie Edelman, who was described as a lifestyle expert. It turns out the station had used a clip from a video news release produced by a company called Master Foods, which owns M&M and Mars Candy. Of course, the segment mentioned Snickers and M&Ms as good things to have for Halloween parties. But Channel 2 never mentioned where the piece came from and even used its Fox 2 logo on the story to make it look like it was produced in-house. The Center for Media and Democracy has filed a formal complaint with the FCC over such news practices. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, are you going to? Oh, get your big screen television, get your small screen television, you get your washer, your dryer, your dishwasher. Anything that you need for your home, get on over to Sears. You don't have to drive out to the mall. You don't have to spend your gas money. It's right here, 3425 Union. Sears, get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. When you get on over to Sears, tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown. Inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU is your station for talk radio with a difference. Call now for your turn on the air. The numbers are 314-454-0400 or toll-free 1-877-920-WGNU. Individual results may vary. Some restrictions apply.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, my name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name's Doe.
And we are the hosts of the new Crime Time Live talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vock, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Sometimes I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. But it won't if you keep treating me like I'm invisible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I know I'm late with this, though, but I found out why George Bush didn't fire the person who did that, who provided the leak. Because presidents can't get fired. They can resign to get impeached.
Oh, there you go.
You know what, though, Liz? Do you think that this is brought up for, like, the perfect storm? Because the Democrats only need 5 seats in the House. And you know that the House actually does the article of impeachment, if I'm not correct. If I'm correct.
You know what the missing element here is, caller?
What's that?
Whether or not the Democrats would have the guts to do it once they got into the majority. Would they be willing to, let's just put this behind us and work together, because there's legislation that we want to get passed. So we will hold the threat of impeachment as a hammer over the heads of the Republicans, but we're not actually going to go through with that. We just don't have, I don't know. I don't think that they have the intestinal fortitude, even if they get the majority, to do it. I don't know.
Do you think they could get the majority?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you can't get the majority now, it's like, you know, it's like your mother, you're in a baseball game, and all of a sudden your mother is put in on the other team as the substitute pitcher, okay? Then all of then you don't even have to hit the ball anymore. If you can't win the game under those types of circumstances, then you're not going to win the event. Then you shouldn't be playing. And I'm concerned that the Democrats are too busy trying to make an example out of someone like Cynthia McKinney than trying to make an example out of someone like Tom DeLay.
That is an absolute outrage.
It's an outrage.
What they're doing. Outrage. Nancy Pelosi won't even speak to the woman.
And Nancy Pelosi, you know,
don't
get me started on Nancy Pelosi. Don't get me started. It is absolutely an outrage, and it. Remember, I don't know if you remember this, but I had the chair of the Black Caucus on my show, and he was ignorant, he was rude, and he was super defensive, because I was challenging him on the fact that the Black Caucus didn't vote on what they were or didn't have a position on the bankruptcy bill. Well,
wow.
We have a position on HBCs. Well, duh. I would expect that you come out and have a position on historically black colleges. I don't expect the other ones to, but I certainly expect that, yeah, you can do the easy stuff, but the hard stuff you all don't do. Well, now we know what they think about women. We know what they think about themselves, and we know what they think about us. They are going after Cynthia McKinney harder than they've gone after Tom DeLay, harder than they've gone after the United States Senate for not moving on the Katrina issue, harder than anything. And that's an outrage.
I truly believe they want her out because of her outspokenness on issues that really matter to black people.
Uh-huh.
And she's always accurate about what she says. But that
tell me when she's
in the wrong way. And remember, most Democrats were those Southern whites that really
didn't like blacks
anyway.
What part of the South is Nancy Pelosi from?
She's from California.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So we don't even need to go there.
That's
Nancy
right.
Pelosi is from Southern California. Got to roll. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Looking Black is going to be in our next hour. Of course, it's Friday. Looking Black. And our guest journalist today will be Deborah Mathis. It's going to be fun. Stay with us.
Some very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that progress is being made.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's the low major.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from NBC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
If it did occur, the president and vice president must be held accountable.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says presidential power is no excuse for leaking the name of a covert CIA operative. That's what a former White House aide says President Bush did. Here's ABC's Andrea Canning.
Vice President Dick Cheney's former top aide has dropped a political bombshell. Lewis Scooter Libby told a federal grand jury it was President Bush who authorized the leak of sensitive intelligence information about Iraq. According to court papers filed by prosecutors in the CIA leak case, Libby says the president put him in play as a secret provider of information to reporters about pre-war intelligence on Iraq.
Attorney General Gonzalez says the president did nothing wrong. He has the legal authority to declassify any information he chooses at any time. The Senate can't seem to come to terms on a final agreement on immigration reform. Republicans and Democrats were apparently close to a deal, then they deadlocked on the details, so they'll be at it again today. The jury in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui has the day off, and the members could probably use it. After some very emotional testimony yesterday from New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani and some graphic video of the 9/11 attacks.
Some jurors cried. You have to wonder, this portion of the trial is expected to last at least 3 weeks. You just have to wonder how much of this that they went through they can endure. By the way, Moussaoui wasn't affected by any of this at all. He was quiet through most of the day until the very end when, as they led him out, he shouted, "Burn the USA and go to hell."
ABC's Jim Dolan in Alexandria, Virginia. It was another stormy day across the Midwest. There are reports of at least 19 tornadoes, wind up to 80 miles an hour, and baseball-sized hail. The National Hurricane Center's released its list of names for the upcoming hurricane season. The first one, Alberto, then Beryl, Chris, Debbie, Ernesto, and Florence. Katrina, Rita, Stan, and Wilma have been retired. This is ABC News.
Jack Riegel, founder of AdventureWorks, has some important information about the grand opening of his newest store. Jack?
Well, Susan, this will be our 40th store, so we're having a sale to mark the occasion. 40% off.
Wow, you know, it's a wonder you can even make a profit with a great sale like that.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a sale.
So, 40% off.
The problem is our software that projects profitability is so complicated, nobody can use it. But I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, we've got 40 stores.
You certainly do. Thanks for your time, Jack.
My pleasure.
Even some successful businesses could use help with financial dynamics. That's why there's Microsoft Dynamics, powerful, people-ready business management solutions that can deliver easy-to-use financial analysis tools so you get the data you need to make the most confident decisions. Plus, Microsoft Dynamics can help you with CRM and supply chain management. Visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
How did it happen? That's just one of the many questions today on the West Point campus a day after the school's women's basketball coach suddenly and unexpectedly died. Here's ABC's Aaron Kuchersky.
And a lot of smiles on the Army bench and with the Army fans.
At 28 years old, Maggie Dixon led the Army women's basketball team to its first NCAA tournament.
These are very special women. And just to be able to lead them and be a part of their lives is extremely important to me.
And Maggie Dixon calling a timeout with 54.8 seconds left.
Maggie Dixon died Thursday after she collapsed at a friend's house. The U.S. Military Academy said she suffered an arrhythmic episode to her heart. Aaron Kuchersky, ABC News, New York.
The verdict could come at any time now. The publishing world will have an eye on London as a judge is expected to rule in the Da Vinci Code copyright trial. Two authors claim their ideas were stolen and used in Dan Brown's blockbuster novel. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the parents of a missing 17-year-old from St. Genevieve are upping the reward for finding their son.
The reward for information leading to the return of Wade Michael Lurk is up to $25,000. Lurk has not been seen since leaving a party at Goose Creek Lake early Saturday morning. He is described as white, 5'8" and 160 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes, and was driving a white 1990 Nissan Stanza with Missouri license plates 720WWC. Anyone with information is asked to call the St. Genevieve County Sheriff's Department at 573-883-5820 or Crime Stoppers at 1-866-371-TIPS. The state of Missouri is responding to the tornado disaster area in and around Caruthersville by dispatching multiple state agencies. Governor Matt Blunt toured the area yesterday afternoon. City Public Information Officer Lawrence Goro says assistance from state agencies, volunteer organizations, and other municipalities in the state has been critical to the recovery effort in Caruthersville.
The state's just been providing tremendous response to this. The State Emergency Management Agency has been on site since the disaster took place.
Goro also says St. Louis firefighters have been enormously helpful in staffing the firehouses and command center in Caruthersville. A repair project will cause lane restrictions on Highway 40 in St. Louis beginning today. Crews will be repairing bridge joints on the Highway 40 bridge at Vandeventer. Traffic on the highway will be down to two lanes in both directions, and the ramp from Pappin to eastbound Highway 40 will be closed for the first stage of construction. The work should be finished by July. Finally this hour, mom and dad are the keys to combating childhood obesity in America. That's the finding from the 2006 Healthy Lunchbox Survey, which shows that when parents are involved in making their children's lunches, kids are far less likely to be obese. Dr. Raleigh McAllister, who commissioned the study, says getting kids active is also important, and that's easier to do if parents join in the activity. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Refer Yourself Real Estate Rebates. If you're in the market to buy a home, get up to 1% of the sale price back at closing. Go to BuySellCash.com to find out more. Get paid to buy your next home. BuySellCash.com. That's BuySellCash.com. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurant. Southbound 170, the ramp to eastbound Olive is reopened after a truck with an oversized load was struck. Several large vehicles remain on the shoulder of the traffic jams near Midland. Eastbound 44 at 141 in Soccer Park. Look for no problems there. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Lindbergh's on the move. Northbound 270 at 44. That traffic is building this hour. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge all the way into 141 looks good. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Slow traffic. Eastbound 40 at 270. The traffic is flowing freely this hour. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks all the way to 367 is on the move. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. You can expect slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. And westbound 64 at 5570, as well as northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those traffic areas are starting to build this hour, but still looking relatively clear. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of three delicious breakfast extra value meals like an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Warmer, partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. A chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Those storms may be severe with damaging winds and large hail. The high should be around 80. For this evening, breezy, much colder, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening and after midnight with a low in the upper 30s. Then for Saturday, mostly cool, much cooler. Partly cloudy skies with a high only in the mid-50s. Saturday evening, mostly clear, low in the mid-30s. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under mostly clear skies, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up, get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. We are having a little difficulty getting a hold of our guest for this morning, our guest journalist this morning. So we will go to the lines, but I want to set something up too. Okay, we got her. All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. This is, we're getting ready to do what we always do.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome to Looking Black. This has been a very, very, very crazy, crazy week. Our guest journalist this morning is Deborah Mathis, columnist. Welcome, Deborah. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
I know you are. Deborah, you know, I know you have some stuff to talk about, but can we please talk about Cynthia McKinney?
Oh, yeah.
Can we do that?
Oh, yeah.
Can we do that? I am looking at these comments by the racist talk show host Bortz.
Yeah.
And the ghetto slut. Yeah, ghetto slut. The ghetto slut comments that he made about Cynthia McKinney. And you know what? I'm also looking at, there seems to be almost this fever that is going on throughout our country. Do you think that there is kind of a connection between what's happening with the lacrosse team and what is happening with Cynthia McKinney? That there just seems to be this fever and this ability to, first of all, we start attacking the African woman personally, and then we start addressing her race, and then we start dismissing any claims that she has, and then we finish the process off by dehumanizing her.
Yeah, I think that there's a connection, but I think that what's happened is that it's just the fever is always there. It's just the timing of all this is just, well, let me say that there's a lot to blame for this. In part, I'm gonna start off in blaming us in part for allowing bitches and hoes and things like that to be said in our songs, in our music, as if we have glorified it and we've put it out there. In other words, we've put it out there that it's okay to call that. Rush Limbaugh referred to the victim
mm-hmm.
in the North Carolina rape as a hoe. And then Neil Bortz in Atlanta refers to Cynthia McKinney and says she looked like a ghetto slut with her hair. Now, I'm not saying that makes it right to do that, but I'm saying look at what we've done.
But
what we've done. Now I'm going to go to them.
But wait a minute. Before we get to them, there are choices that are made in the in the music industry every single day.
Yes.
Why is it that Dead Prez is not promoted by a record company and an artist that refers to women in that way is? Those are the decisions that are made at the top in terms of what is going to be pushed. People who say them, sure, they bear some responsibilities, but black women were being called these things before rap music.
Oh, absolutely, but I'm just saying that it has reached a different level now. You didn't hear when I was I'm 52. When I was 17 years old, there was no song being played on the radio that ever said bitch or hoe. Period. No song. People were calling each other that sometimes when they were angry, but they were not ever using that as a pronoun for female. It was only when it was anger. So I'm saying for us to stop letting that be okay in our community. Period. Okay in our community. Now to them that never ever get. I think what that does is makes them think. Okay, this is in the popular vernacular now. So I can go ahead and say this. Plus we have George Bush and Dick Cheney in office. This is a government that has said, to hell with people who don't have anything who aren't like us. And so it's given a lot of things that happen here have come. It's the perfect storm, in effect. You have this the usage of this term in the popular culture. You have a government that doesn't care about people who aren't them or aren't like them. And then you have the stewing racism that's been there anyway. Hell, it's time to say it. And, you know, say what you feel. And then they come back and apologize. I am sick to death of these people. And for them to think that it's okay to ever say that and say it's a slip of the tongue. Well, what is a slip of the tongue but something that you're actually, you failed to edit what you really felt? That's all a slip of the tongue is.
Well, see, and I guess my anger and where I would start first is with people or organizations like the Black Caucus, whose job it is to respond in a powerful, consistent, outraged manner when assaults are made against them and their mothers. And instead what we have is a compromised running away. There doesn't seem to, I don't care if boys out here, I mean, I do care that boys are calling people this, it's wrong and all of that, but to me, all of us know better than that.
Yeah.
And we know better than that. So I gotta put that aside and start with the people who are, there is no excuse for anything that they do. I mean, any wrong action that they do. And when you have the Black Caucus piling on Cynthia McKinney in the similar or same way as a Rush Limbaugh is, that's the problem.
But they didn't, Liz. If I can disagree with you on this, they didn't pile on her in the same way. They weren't attacking her as a person. They didn't come to her aid in this situation. And frankly, Cynthia McKinney was wrong. Frankly, Cynthia McKinney mishandled that situation. Now, you know, I get accused as much probably as she does of being a racist because I'm always, quote, playing the race card. I'm always quick to call something racist, but I'm trying to be fair about this thing as much as I possibly can. I'm not being defensive of stinking Rush Limbaugh and stinking Neil Bortz and all the people that agree with them. Not in any fashion would I ever defend what they have to say. And you're right, grown men supposedly ought to know better anyway. But, you know, what I'm saying is that we're creatures of psychology, and they think, you know, it's okay to even, look, 20 years ago, you couldn't say the word, those words, period, on the air.
Well, you couldn't say sex. I mean,
right, on the air. But I'm saying all of this has come together. It's like the perfect timing for them to be able to say what they want, what they've been, they would have felt anyway, for them to actually say it. And I'm just, that's all I'm saying. It's that this is not an excuse, this is an explanation. But with Cynthia McKinney, the way she handled her situation when she walked in that Capitol that day was wrong. And that's why nobody came to defend her. But what they should have done is jumped on all of these personal attacks.
But that's what that's the defense. That's the defense I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the incident itself.
Yes.
I'm talking about defending a woman where now the issue that these people have been allowed to attack her in this way.
Exactly.
I mean,
and
you're
it has
supposed to serve you're supposed
the racism
to,
that she cried
yes,
in the beginning.
Yes, it has. Yeah,
absolutely.
It absolutely has. They should have circled their wagons around her and responded to that, because we're not hearing it from Nancy Pelosi. What I'm concerned about is that what this is going, there has been more attention and more attack on what Cynthia McKinney did or didn't do than there have been, I've heard from the Black Caucus, on attacking a lot of things that are going on in Washington, D.C.
Well, once again, we get to what I call the assigned value of human life. It's the reason that black women missing and black children missing do not get the attention that white women missing and white children missing get. It's the reason that when white boys go into a school and shoot everybody up, it's a crisis, an emergency, and a national and international tragedy. And when black boys shoot each other on the corner in their own neighborhoods every day, it's just another one bites the dust.
And
so we have the value aside, you know, big deal. So a black woman got called a hoe. Big deal. That's the way the nation thinks.
And wait a minute. I'm just remembering something, Deborah. Wasn't Cynthia McKinney called the B word on the floor of the Congress? Wasn't that a few years ago she was called?
My memory is kind of like, that seems vaguely familiar.
Because I think I was just on a panel with Maxine Waters, and that's what she said. That there were a few years ago that Cynthia was called the B word on the floor by a white male congressman, and there were a couple of black congressmen that defended him saying that. She on the floor of the Congress, she was called that. And one of the things I was saying and thinking about, Deborah, because I wonder if you feel this way. What a horrible, horrible thing that must do to your psychology to be standing on the floor, being called out your name like that, and then don't feel the defense and the circling of wagons. Does that make you think that can make you a little crazy? You think that can really, really can mess with you?
Well, I'll just put it this way. I would be former Congresswoman Deborah Mathis, who has been in jail now for however many years. I mean, that would just, I would lose it over there.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and in particular, when you look around and nobody got your back, too, so you know you got to do it even harder.
See, and I'm going to tell you something else that really got me yesterday. When I read this in the Washington Post, I think, I didn't, because I'm not up on the Hill. I don't cover the Hill anymore, so I don't see this. But they said that a lot of the Republican members of the House were walking around. They had special buttons made in support of the Capitol Police. Now, to me that says you automatically, I mean, they couldn't wait. In other words, I'm just saying this is a symptom, just like the North Carolina thing is. These aren't just singular, separate incidents, that have no linkage to the mood of this country. This is why this is more serious than those two separate events are themselves, as awful as they may be, especially in North Carolina. What has happened is that the whole temperature of the country has grown cold and hard, and there has been a license for people to say and do things that they normally would have some restraint about. And that comes from a lot of institutions. It comes from partly the entertainment industry, but it comes mainly from who's in the White House now. He has said in every action that he's taken, not in his words, and thank God talk is cheaper, he'd be broke as hell, but in all of his actions, in the bills that he signs and what he supports, that I have your back if you are most like me. The more you're like me, wealthy, white, male, middle-aged, the better off you're going to be under my administration.
Mm.
And the less you're like me, forget it. Now, you know, that has been his message in every action that he's taken.
Well, also on the other side of that, we have the so-called opposition party completely, and I would say comfortably cowed.
Oh, it's
and
the Democrats are pathetic. I'll just say they are pathetic. They are some weak. You know, all they can do is jump on what the Republicans do wrong. They don't have anything to project themselves. Now,
I would disagree with you. I don't even feel that they jump on what they do wrong.
Okay.
You know,
well, I feel you on that.
I don't even feel that the things that the Republicans do wrong, that they jump on in any kind of real or consistent way.
Well, they don't. And you know what? Part of it is that when you're a minority party, there's not much you can do but yell and scream. I mean, you can't call any hearings. You can't make anything happen.
But look at what the Republicans did with Newt Gingrich. I mean, they were the minority party when he was out there with the Contract of America. How'd that work out for the Republicans? Worked out pretty good in the next election cycle, didn't it? I mean, you could.
But see that, yeah. Well, okay, he was able to marshal all those forces.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we don't have.
But that's why they're pathetic. They're the minority party. They can't do anything. The only thing they can do is create a revolution, so to speak, like Gingrich did.
That's a fact.
But they don't have. But you gotta have somebody who motivates you, and inspires you, and fires you up. You gotta have a Martin Luther King or a Malcolm X or a Cesar Chavez. You gotta have somebody. They don't have it.
They don't have. And they're not interested in having it because, quite frankly, you have to have it. A fearlessness about you and a belief in what you're doing. And what the Democrats are saying is that they don't have a belief in what they're doing. They're happy with being Republican light and then complaining when they think that their constituents want them to complain.
That's right. And they're so afraid, instead of saying, you know, sticking to their guns and saying, okay, this side is just wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. What they do is, oh, but we better play to them. We better move in their direction a little bit, or better, you know, kind of temporize what we have to say. Otherwise, they're not going to vote for us anyway. Instead of just saying, let's just stand on principle here and see who comes with us. What have they got to lose? They're already, I mean, the worst that could happen is that they stay where they are.
Fact. We have to take a break. This is Looking Black. I am talking to Deborah Mathis. I'm Liz Brown. We will be back after this. Stay with us.
Let me know what's real and going on. Be show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah.
On Saturday, April 8th, join Dr. Mary Frances Berry, author of My Face is Black is True, Callie House and the Struggle for Ex-Slaves Reparations, as she explores the African-American struggle for compensation for years of unpaid labor. The Missouri Historical Society, in partnership with the University of Missouri, is pleased to host the Race, Power, and Money Monthly programs. This provocative series explores the issues that affect the daily lives of all Americans. This program with Dr. Berry will be Saturday, that's tomorrow, from 1 p.m. until 2:30 at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. The presentation requires reservations. Please call 361-901-7361-901-7. For more information, visit mo.history.org.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. Southbound 170 at eastbound Olive is now reopened after a truck with an oversized load was struck. Several large vehicles remain on the shoulder and traffic still jams around Midland. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill to Lindbergh looks good. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at Riverview and Newhalls Ferry. Look for that traffic to start stacking up this hour. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. You've got slow traffic going on there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slight delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, you can expect normal traffic in your 730 commute. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those ramps are building in traffic. Highway A at Harrison Lake. Look for an accident as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Midas. Trust the Midas touch. What's the most important safety feature on your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas touch. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Warmer, partly cloudy this morning. Becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. Chance for thunderstorms this afternoon. So storms may be severe with damaging wind and large hail. High should be around 80. Then this evening, breezy, much colder. Mostly cloudy. Chance of showers throughout the evening and overnight hours. The low should be in the upper 30s. For Saturday, much cooler, partly cloudy, high only in the mid-50s, and Sunday, mostly sunny, with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call, Looking Black, continues following these messages. Take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you.
Each Friday, we'll be joined by women authors who share their journey of getting in print. And through their success, they will inspire you to make your book happen.
So join me, Donna Gamash.
And me, Sabrina Underwood.
For Women Inspiring Women, every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary.
Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Get in the zone. AutoZone. The AutoZone Rewards Program is the easiest way to save money every time you work on your car. The more you shop at AutoZone, the more you save. Every qualifying purchase at participating AutoZone stores helps you earn free AutoZone gift cards worth 20 bucks each. Redeem your rewards points for oil changes, tune-ups, parts, chemicals, accessories, you name it. The AutoZone Rewards Program. Some restrictions apply. For details, get to AutoZone now.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vock, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Real life, on the cutting edge, it's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Our guest journalist this morning is Deborah Mathis, joining us from Washington, D.C. Deborah, welcome back.
Thank you.
Deborah, let's talk about this lacrosse issue. Can we talk about that?
Of course.
Tell us, can you kind of bring us up to speed on this and tell us your take on all of the issues that come out of what's happening over there in North Carolina?
Well, as I understand it now, the prosecutor is waiting on the DNA results to come back to determine, you know, who to charge. He has said that there definitely will be charges in this case, but they have yet to materialize. Supposedly they're waiting on the forensic science, and that should be back, at least some of it, back any day now. So maybe we're waiting to see. As you know, all of the members of the lacrosse team had to submit DNA samples, you know, oral swabs or something, so they could see if there was a match between that and some of the DNA found on the victim. And her father is trying to be very, I think, magnanimous in saying that, you know, the coach should be left alone, and you know he's sorry that all this has happened, that some people who are innocent may be dragged into this and their name smeared and that kind of thing. But, you know, he wants some justice for his daughter. Now, it's caused, you know, one heck of a stir in Durham. And people are in the streets and marching and writing and vigils and protesting all over the place. So it's gotten, I'm surprised, frankly, when I found out about the marches and everything, that the victim was a black woman, because I'm not accustomed to seeing this kind of community response and support across racial lines and age lines and economic lines and everything for black victims, and especially when the alleged perpetrators are white, and then add to that that they're something of heroes because they're star athletes.
Well, don't we also, with this issue, because we also had Rush Limbaugh on his show calling her an H.O.
Uh-huh.
Don't we also in this case, and maybe that kind of explains why there's so many people involved, this is an issue of race, but this is also an issue of gender, and it's also an issue of class because of the elitism that is extended to this lacrosse team.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it, and it will be really interesting to see how this comes out, how this plays out. I've been surprised at a lot of things. Like I said, first the response, immediate response of all these people marching and in the streets and everything, and all kinds of people involved in that. It was wonderful to see it because I'm just not used to seeing that kind of response in support of a black victim.
Well, perhaps it has to do with maybe there's so much bad stuff going on at this college and bad stuff going on that people have just said, okay, enough.
Exactly.
Enough.
That incident may have been the tipping point. You're absolutely right. And you have to think that there must be something to that because it's just too extraordinary a response for that. I'm glad it happened, but it's still a little bit suspicious because it never, ever happened before.
And the other piece of it is the question of the issue that confronts us as a society every time a woman is raped. There's an element of our society that believes in some piece that, okay, well, maybe a woman on some level could ask for this by how she dressed she acts.
And look at this case.
There you go.
She's a stripper or something.
Mm-hmm. At the very least an exotic dancer.
Yeah, an exotic dancer.
For parties. And the community response has been amazing. But also the university's response has been amazing as well.
Yeah.
In terms of what the president of the university has done to the lacrosse team and the rest of their year.
Right. Well, you know, and that, again, is because, I mean, maybe the president would have taken those actions anyway, but you have to think that it was probably because of the heat of the negative publicity as well.
I'm more of a cynic.
And if it hadn't been for that, if it had been just like a little campus, you know, buzz going on, would that same action have been taken? I would hope so, but I don't know that.
Well, I'm of the mind to believe, Deborah, that, like the students, maybe like we were just talking about a second ago, that maybe for the campus and the surrounding area, this case was a tipping point. This lacrosse team has done all kinds of things, and they just decided we've had enough. Maybe it's the same with the president of the university. Maybe he knows a lot more about some of the stuff that he's had to cover up for them and deal with them on, and he just said, no more cover.
Could be. It could be. What I'm impressed with most is, well, not most equally, would be the prosecutor's avowals to bring this case to trial. I mean, he has said, you know, I'm convinced. You know, he didn't say, well, we're going to wait and see what the evidence shows, that kind of thing. But, you know, and I promise you that if the evidence, you know, is culpatory, that I definitely will go after somebody. And he didn't do that. He just said, there are going to be some charges in this case, and, you know, I mean, and I'm convinced there was a rape.
For a prosecutor to say that, I was a former criminal defense attorney. I can count the times on no hands that I've ever heard a prosecutor say that.
Okay, well, yeah, then that's what I'm saying. You know, I find that is really something that is that says a lot. Something,
yes, it does.
Something definitely happened there.
Yes, it does.
And it had to have, you know, it had to have happened because, look, this is a black woman. These are white star athletes. You know, if the evidence had been sloppy or iffy or something like that, look, that would have been over with.
There you
know
go.
That.
There you go.
So, you know, for him to say that, for him to be that dogged about it tells me it was something terrible happened. And I don't doubt it. And I don't know if you saw this email that surfaced yesterday, I believe it was, that some lacrosse member said, you know, I'm going to have a party tonight at, you know, he named the name of that frat house or whatever. We're going to have a party tonight. Come on over. We're going to have a stripper, but no nudity or something. We're going to beat the going to kill her and strip her skin off or something like that.
Well, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. His name was Ryan McFadden.
Okay.
And Ryan McFadden is the biggest star of the lacrosse team. And it's a huge, huge deal because, there is no indication at all that he is as could have, in fact, pretty much everybody said he didn't have any. He wasn't even there that night. But for him to write this the day after, and for a person like him who's a star athlete and a rock star on campus, for he to be suspended after this email, big deal.
Uh-huh.
Huge deal.
There are layers and layers to this thing, I think. And I just, you know, hoping that they all get exposed, because I just see this as running real deep. And like you, I think that there probably may be a lot of cases, you know, of some kind of vileness going on that campus. And this was just finally, it reached the breaking point.
Absolutely. And we have to take a break. I'm talking to Deborah Mathis. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Liz Brown, Looking Black. Stay with us.
Fly, I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even if no one else want it.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Paris. The European Union has decided to stop making aid payments to the new Palestinian government led by the Hamas organization. The EU is the biggest donor to the Palestinian Authority, which relies mainly on foreign aid. A spokesman for the European Union says that Hamas has failed to meet conditions called for by the international community, namely recognizing Israel and renouncing violence. Hamas says such a move is a collective punishment against the Palestinian people. The Palestinian Authority got about $1 billion a year from both the United States and the European Union since it was formed back in 1994. Over $600 million alone comes from the European Union. And Dateline San Francisco. A former technician with AT&T says that his company gave permission to allow the government to listen in on customers' conversations in a secret and illegal manner. The Electronic Frontier Foundation had filed a suit against AT&T in January, charging it with illegally cooperating with the National Security Agency in an eavesdropping program. As part of the lawsuit, the EFF got a statement from a Mark Klein, a retired technician, who indicates a dragnet surveillance program has been enacted to help with the eavesdropping plan. His statement has been filed with the court, but it has been sealed at the request of the government under a piece of legislation that allows prevention of divulging state secrets. There is a possibility that the entire lawsuit might be dismissed because a 1953 Supreme Court case allowed the government to shut down a lawsuit because it could have resulted in military secrets being compromised. This is your wake-up call, global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, that's right, that's right. Your big screen televisions, your little screen televisions, your washers, your dryers. It's springtime. Time to get a new lawnmower. Time to get some new garden equipment. Time to get some new tools. Time to get some new stuff for your house. Spring cleaning, don't you know? Get on over to Sears, 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. When you walk in and you see Jerome Williams, tell him I told you to.
This Saturday, join Dr. Mary Frances Berry, author of My Face is Black is True, Kelly House and the Struggle for Ex-Slave Reparations, as she explores the African-American struggle for compensation for years of unpaid labor. The Missouri Historical Society, in partnership with the University of Missouri-St. Louis, St. Louis University, and in collaboration with Focus St. Louis, is pleased to host the Race, Power, and Money monthly programs.
This provocative series explores issues that affect the daily lives of all Americans. Dr. Berry's program this Saturday will be from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. The presentation is $5 for the general public and $4 for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Please call 314-361-9017. Or for more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
Were you aware that big changes are on the way for the welfare system come October? Congress has decided that states are not doing enough to get people off of aid programs and back into the job market. This could result in states losing billions of dollars if they don't develop plans the government approves of by as early as June. State governments say if they don't keep the flexibility they currently have to put people back into the job market, the whole plan is doomed to fail. You need to be listening Friday morning at 8 for an informative look at the possible end of the welfare program as we know it with Daniel Vaughn, staff writer and researcher for Stateline.org, here on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. Our guest this morning, Deborah Mathis, joining us from Washington, D.C. Deborah, can we have a few more minutes left here. Can we talk about the mood of the White House and the fate of George W. Bush?
Yes.
hasn't been a couple months. Years for the George.
You know, it hasn't. And I'm getting ready to write a column about, you know, we hear about compassion fatigue and disaster fatigue and all of this. I'm wondering if we might not just have scandal fatigue, because there have been so many things that are enough to have brought down this presidency, and yet, people just kind of, shrug it off. And I guess the protest mode nowadays is the poll. I mean, all you do is just tell a pollster that, no, I don't like what he's doing. You feel like you've done your civic duty to protect the country against tyrants. I have gotten accustomed to him, too, but I despise this administration as much as I did on day one. And more, I have to say, because I have much more reason to. I despise them initially about how they came to power.
How they stole the election.
And now, the things that they've done with this country, as if they've treated the United States of America and all its resources like a toy box. And when their friends come over, here, you can have this, and you can play with this. From trade policy to war, to domestic policy, you name it, to environment, they're killing us. They are slowly killing us.
And I think maybe your point is well taken about the scandal fatigue, because Jesus, you know, it's not even every single week, it's every single day another huge something comes down and comes through a resistant or complicit press. You know, so those are the stories that are coming down to us, and all the stuff that is not, all the dots that are not being connected by the press is also breathtaking.
Yes, but when the press tries, like the New York Times breaking these stories lately, and the Washington Post doing some stuff, when the press tries, people, you know, it's beating your head against the wall. Mm. People just, it becomes nothing but water cooler talk. People talk about it, but they take no action. They go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's like the great stress reliever in this country is to go buy something. You don't go and take to the streets. You don't sign petitions. You don't go and shake the gates of the White House. You just go shopping. And, you know, and I'm just so disappointed in the American spirit, as, you know, just to use a term, that I don't know what to do. I don't know what it's going to take. You know, there's a lot of jokes around that are blue humor, so I won't use the exact words, but they're basically saying, you know, maybe we need a Monica Lewinsky around there, you know, and that will get people rattled enough to throw him out. Forget what he's done, you know, to endanger us. Forget how he's cost us all this treasure and in lives and in dollars. You know, forget how he's made the rest of the world lose total respect for us, and many of them hate us and want to see us brought down. Forget how, you know, we don't have any real standing in, we can't believe anything he really says anymore, and that the presidency has been used, you know, as like Ralph Nader said, he's not, George Bush isn't a person, he's a corporation masquerading as a person.
Mm.
You know, forget all of that. You know, the only thing we'll care about is if he gets caught in bed with a donkey or something, and then we'll start talking. I mean, you look at what happened at the very end of the 2004 election. You know, John Kerry was moving on up there, and it looked good, but then all of a sudden, the White House came out with this thing about gay marriages and abortion. Two issues that the White House can do nothing about. It can't initiate it. It can't take any action on that. It can only take positions on it. But it wasn't going to be able to do anything about that. But that got people, supposedly black people in Ohio, you know, and a lot of black Christians and everything came out and voted for George Bush because he managed to stir them up over that. So, you know, unless it's about sexuality or reproduction, are you telling me that, you know, he can do anything else unless he violates something on those, in those areas? I just don't know what in the world the column is going to, you know, what is it going to take? What is it going to take for you to say, oh my goodness, this is enough? And the idea that the only people that are, who are going to have to pay the price for this, and I don't mind this necessarily, but it's kind of unfair, are going to be the Republicans running for re-election or for new office in November, and he's not going to have to pay any price for it because he's done.
And I think that is a very, very, very powerful point, that because you're absolutely right. Unless there is some action, unless there is some movement within in-house, and we have a very, very weak House, he's going to get away scot-free.
Absolutely. That sickens me. That sickens me. This man has probably broken laws. He certainly has behaved unethically and immorally. He has certainly lied to, people like to use the term misled. Look, he lied.
There you go.
He lied to us, and he continues to lie to us. That's what makes it even worse. At some point, you know, there has to be some price paid for that, because that has damaged the presidency. People say, well, I don't respect the man, but I respect the office. But the man is fouling up the office. Okay, you can't even respect the office anymore if he's going to turn it into a pit boss's den.
And then there's nothing definitive definitive in terms of history that, okay, we're clear with Richard Nixon. We're clear that history has, although there has been an attempt in the last few decades or so to try to rewrite the history about Richard Nixon, they're rewriting history about George Bush while he's in-house. Imagine what is going to happen once he gets out. So he won't even have the weight of history if, unless and until something is definitive is done before he leaves office.
Well, exactly. And I mean, the idea of Dick Cheney, who's already built his retirement home up at the eastern shore of Maryland, not far from where Donald Rumsfeld is building his retirement home, I can see them both sitting out on the dock of the bay as the sun goes down with their little wives and their martinis in their hands and cigars and chuckling at what they got away with. That makes me sicker than anything. I can't tell you.
He can shoot somebody and get away with it. Now, let's start there.
Yeah.
Let's start there. Deborah Mathis, thank you so much.
Always, Liz, and I love what you do.
Thank you. I love what you do, too. Take care now.
Okay.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that? I will never say the progress that you made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brothers.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A new attack in Iraq. Dozens are dead. ABC's David Curley with details in Baghdad.
We just heard from the defense ministry here that two suicide bombers exploded themselves through suicide vests, killing dozens at a Shia mosque in the northern part of Baghdad. And we're hearing that there are bodies still on the ground, dozens killed. These people were coming out of Friday prayers. There is a courtyard area or a front yard area right outside the mosque and then a fence. One of the suicide bombers, according to the defense ministry, apparently got into that courtyard area, and the other one was outside the fence. And apparently the majority of the casualties happened in that courtyard area.
This is the second attack on an Iraqi mosque in as many days. Yesterday, a car bomb exploded near a shrine in Najaf. The Senate debates immigration reform again today. Republicans and Democrats were apparently close to a deal last night, but became bogged down in the details. Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions says especially guest workers.
I urge my colleagues, if you said you would not vote for amnesty, you should not vote for this compromise.
And Democrats hammered back.
We must protect this fragile compromise from those bent on gutting this bill with hostile amendments.
Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid. Mum's the word from President Bush a day after a former aide to Vice President Cheney said he was told to leak the name of a CIA agent by Mr. Bush. The only thing the administration will say is that the president could do that if he chose. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
Senior officials here argue President Bush has total authority to declassify information. And in fact, during those days of debate over weapons of mass destruction, the administration followed the usual practice of declassifying a national intelligence estimate.
Former aide Louis Libby was indicted and fired for the leak. A reported 19 tornadoes touched down yesterday from Kansas to Tennessee, not to mention storms up to 80-mile-an-hour wind and baseball-sized hail. This is ABC News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
I hope we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium wine section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why is that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon.
Canyon.
Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
Top three reasons I'm sprucing up my home this spring. Number three, if you could see my yard, well, you'd understand. Number two, I've wanted a new kitchen for, about 2 decades. And the number one reason, I can do it all this spring, but pay for it later.
Now through April 9th, get special deferred financing on purchases throughout the store when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only. See stores for details.
The National Hurricane Center's released its list of names for the upcoming season. ABC News meteorologist Gerard McNeff's gotten a look at it.
This year, the first storm name will be Alberto, followed by Burl, Chris, Debbie, Ernesto, and Florence. And we have 21 names for storms in any given year. So we would have to make it to the 22nd storm when we would begin to use the Greek alphabet.
Which we did last year, up to Tropical Storm Zeta. Among the names that were retired, Katrina, Rita, Stan, and Wilma. A viral outbreak is blamed for two deaths at a retirement center in Washington State. Another 40 residents and workers are ill. Health officials are asking residents to stay away from the center until the outbreak of the norovirus runs its course. This could be a good time to look for a job if you're a college graduate. The website CareerBuilder.com says 70% of companies plan to hire this year. That's up 8% from last year. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a former St. Louis police officer will be sentenced in June for his role in a drug ring. Antoine Gordon was convicted Wednesday of drug conspiracy and aiding and abetting a drug conspiracy. Prosecutors say Gordon used his job at the police department to find out whether drug buyers were working as police informants. Gordon will be sentenced on June 30th and could face life in prison. The leader of the conspiracy, Adrian Minnis, pleaded guilty last week and also faces life behind bars. They were among more than 20 people charged in the drug ring. Four volunteers from the St. Louis area chapter of the American Red Cross are in Caruthersville helping with the tornado recovery effort. About 40 more remain on standby in St. Louis in case of more severe weather. Red Cross officials recommend that you take precautions during severe weather, like staying tuned for weather forecasts, staying in the sturdiest shelter possible, and having a disaster supply kit on hand. Missouri Congressman Russ Carnahan says he is shocked by testimony by Michael Maxwell, the former head of the Office of Security and Investigations at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, that workers are approving immigration visas in a matter of minutes. Carnahan says such quick processing and the lack of adequate background checks mean someone who wants to cause harm to America could be let into the country. Maxwell testified that workers were actually rewarded for meeting quotas of processing immigration visas. Finally this hour, the IBM-sponsored Battle of the Brains kicks off on Sunday. It's a five-day competition that brings the best and brightest computer programming college students from around the world. Doug Heintzman, the director of strategy for IBM's Lotus division, says it's really exciting to have a team from Washington University compete in this annual event.
This is the very first time that the Washington University has qualified for the finals, and not only did they qualify, but they actually qualified first out of 123 teams in their division. So they kind of came out of nowhere, and they have to be considered one of the main challengers.
The Battle of the Brains is being held in San Antonio. The winning team will earn scholarships and bragging rights to the world's smartest trophy. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by AccountTemps, the world's first and largest specialized temporary financial staffing firm. Call or visit them today at AccountTemps.com. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Westbound 40 Timberlake Manor, there's an accident. Center lane is blocked on the exit ramp. Eastbound 70 between Earth City Expressway and 270, look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. Traffic jams approaching Earth City. Northbound 270 between or at Ford, at Manchester, actually. There's an incident that's been cleared, but there may be some delays. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into 367, looks good. Southbound 170 between Page and Olive, slow traffic in the right lane approaching Highway 40, as well as at Page and Olive. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, that traffic is building. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Illinois 111 to Route 3, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split looks a little complicated, and westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. You've got traffic congestion there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good, and northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Those approaches are stacked up this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Protect your car's engine with Napa, with clean motor oil. Stop by Napa Auto Parts today and pick up Valvoline conventional motor oil for $1.99 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, warmer, partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon. Some storms may be severe with damaging winds and large hail. The high should be around 80. For this evening, much colder, mostly cloudy, breezy. Chance of showers throughout the evening and overnight hours with a low in the upper 30s. Then on Saturday, much cooler, partly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This Saturday, join Dr. Mary Frances Berry, author of My Face is Black is True, Kelly House and the Struggle for Ex-Slave Reparations, as she explores the African-American struggle for compensation for years of unpaid labor. The Missouri Historical Society, in partnership with the University of Missouri-St. Louis, St. Louis University, and in collaboration with Focus St. Louis, is pleased to host the Race, Power, and Money monthly programs. This provocative series explores issues that affect the daily lives of all Americans. Dr. Berry's program this Saturday will be from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. The presentation is $5 for the general public and $4 for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Please call 314-361-9017. Or for more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Right there.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. And if you want to check us out on the net, that's real easy. We're streamed at WGNU.net. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. We are living in just busy, 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 busy time. There's just no other way to say it. There's no other way to address it. We live in extraordinarily busy times. And I think that it is not only busy times, they're crisis times. It seems as if that every time you turn around, there is a new crisis that has popped up, a hole in the dam that needs to be plugged up. And I think that it would do us well to understand that the only way that we're going to be able to address these crises is to take a deep breath and jump right in, because they're not going to stop coming. One of the issues that I think is at the foundation of some of the challenges that face us is how we treat those that have some of the least, have the least in many respects. When we look at what is, well, let me put it this way. It feels that in this country, that there is an attitude and understanding and action and a movement, an attitude. I mean, it's an attitude about women. I think that you can see it when we see how Cynthia McKinney is addressed, and how Cynthia McKinney is described. And how Cynthia McKinney is put out in the press. We see it in North Carolina when we hear the same talk show hosts that call Cynthia McKinney a ghetto slut talk about the woman who was raped, brutalized, sodomized by the lacrosse team. Referred to as an H.O. There seems to be an energy in our society that there are certain women that you can feel that way about, or women you can feel that way about and say those types of things. And that's, to me, the reason why I need to discuss that right now is because right now there is a Congress voted this week to impose tougher standards on state welfare block grants without providing the funds to deal with these. And to me, the reason why they feel comfortable in doing that, and the reason why they would consider doing that, the reason why they would justify trying to do this, I don't know. I believe that there is an energy and an understanding in this country that when we're dealing with women, poor women, that there are certain things that we can do. These changes are monstrous, and we need to talk about the consequences of this type of attitude towards women in our society, and poor women in particular. To discuss some of these changes and the consequences of these changes, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Dan Vaak, a staff writer and an analysis for Stateline.org, joining us again from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm outstanding. Dan, this is some pretty amazing stuff that came out of Congress this week.
Yeah, actually, Congress approved it a couple months ago, but Now states are trying to figure out how to do. Basically, what Congress did is they forced states, or they're imposing new requirements on states that would require more people, a higher percentage of the people who are on welfare, to be working. And this is after, years and years of you know, success in getting people off of welfare and into work.
Well, talk to us about the original program and how it has worked, and how states do it differently.
Okay. Well, it, you know, this is part of the what was, you know, it, everything's got a great acronym. This is what they call TANF. It's the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. And this is, remember when Bill Clinton said he's going to end welfare as we know it? That's what we're talking about. And under this program, what happened is that the federal government said, you can use this money. We're just going to give you almost no strings attached. And then the states would take the money, and they would use it as they see fit to try to get people not only into work, but also to get them, you know, rehabilitative services. You know, for different states had different discretion in what they wanted to spend on work training or education, or you know, even you know, drug treatment or you know, physical rehab, all that kind of stuff. So the states had a lot of discretion on deciding how they spent the money, as long as the as long as they were showing improvement that more and more people were getting off of welfare.
And the discretion extended to deciding what whether or not attending certain schools would meet the education aspect of the plan.
Right, and actually that's one of the things that states are concerned about right now. For example, college education right now in some states counts and some states it doesn't. They're concerned that when the federal government has to write the rules, like the fill in the details kind of thing. And one of the things they're concerned about is the federal government will not allow, say, you know, college to count as a work training or work participation exercise.
Also, is there what these new rules that have come out of Congress? Talk about are there tougher work standards on two parent families as opposed to single parent families? How could that be?
Well, I think that's always been the case. But the thing is that now states. It's, like I said before, if states are making improvement, then they could you know get out of some of these requirements. Or it's a funding thing about you know who counts basically, who the federal government is looking at. Now the federal government's going to be looking a lot closer at these programs. So yes, they've always treated two parent families differently. But now it's going to be especially hard for the states to meet the requirements that Congress has imposed.
And is there also does the marriage penalty still apply?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. Well, in terms of the states that this impacts on, it's all the states, right?
Right.
And the interesting thing is that each state has complied with this in wildly different ways. I mean, every state has a different rate of compliance. If there's that much differences in the compliance rates of the different states, how can all the states meet what the federal government wants them to?
Well, see, that's the thing, because you know, when Congress is looking at which states are doing well, you know. They were trying to decide, okay, well, how do we compare, like, say, Missouri to Illinois? And when they looked at these, what they found out is because the states had such different definitions of what they called, you know, work participation, you know, how many people are you getting in the process of, you know, going out and getting a job or getting trained or, making improvements in their life so they can get a job, if every state was different. So now one of the reasons for this whole change is that they want to be able to look at, you know, state next to each state. So now the federal government is coming in and writing more detailed regulations so that when the state, you know, when they look at the states, they can say, okay, well, wow, Missouri is doing a really good job, or they're not. It's that type of thing.
Can we really compare state to state, apples to apples, since every state seems to do it differently? How do you make the comparison of who's doing well when states do completely different things?
Well, again, that's one of the reasons that that's one of the reasons why they're tightening everything up is because they want to be able to do that. But right now, honestly, the GAO came out with a report and said, in the last fall, and they said we can't compare, you know, one state to the next, and because of all these different things that states do wildly differently.
So the government can't. First of all, what the government has done doesn't do what they're saying they want it to do. And secondly, you can't do it because there will never be an apples-to-apples comparison.
Well, obviously, I mean, that's, you know, it's designed to give states flexibility. But what they're looking for, I think, is, you know, just to say if they are doing it differently, which one works better?
I see. So one of the things that I find interesting about this is that I don't think that there are any happy governors with this decision.
I'm not aware of any.
Okay, so we're seeing Republican and Democrats gathered at the table, all in unison on their dislike of these changes.
Right, and some of them may agree philosophically, you know, with, you know, the need for more accountability, but it's just the, you know, the kind of stepping in. And the other thing is that it's a really quick turnaround, because this all takes effect. It's supposed to take effect by October. So that's one of the reasons why the governors are really, if they had more time to work with it, I think you'd see more people, or, you know, the governors and state legislators being more receptive to that.
So what are the possibilities? It's my understanding that states could lose $23 million in federal funding. Is this going to happen, and what would be the consequences of that?
Well, one of the things that's going on right now is that the Department of Health and Human Services is trying to figure out, okay, now that Congress wrote this, how do we how do we apply this? And so the governors and different welfare officials in different states have asked for some leeway, you know. So if you don't make the first cut, you know, you won't lose all of the funding. So the $23 million is our best guess. I think that was the Congressional Budget Office that came up with that, you know, but we're not sure. And the states aren't sure, and that's one of the reasons they're really upset, because they don't know yet. But the way that the program works, they can lose quite a bit of money for not meeting these requirements that are in the law.
And can you kind of just break it down for us for a particular state? Is there any particular state that is in line to lose more money than any other state, or are all states pretty much losing around the same amount of money? Who's at greatest risk, I guess?
It's a percentage of the amount of money that they already get.
Mm-hmm.
So those that, you know, obviously, I don't have figures in front of me, but obviously bigger states are going to get bigger, block grants. But it's all based on this thing that happened in '96, and it's kind of at that level. But the bottom line is, every state, because it's a percentage of what they put up, you know, it's going to hurt every state if in fact they don't meet this, because it might not be as much, you know, money in dollars, but percentage-wise, it's still the same. You're still talking about the same type of penalty.
And are there any types of responses from any of the states that might be, you know what, we're just not, we're, there's, we can't do this, and we're going to confront the changes by not, there's nothing that we can do to make these changes. Is there that kind of defiant tone going on from some of the governors and from some of the states?
You haven't heard that. And generally speaking, the governors and state legislators they don't like to confront the federal government that much, or in that full on, but some of them are making plans in case they don't get the money. Because there's two things. I mean, they can either, you know, change their welfare programs drastically, or depending on who's talking, but, you know, drastically or marginally, but they have to make some changes one way or the other. But this is all dependent on, you know, federal money. And some of them are saying, well, we like the way we're doing it. What would it cost our state to just continue what we're doing without losing, how much can we just pay and just take the hit and just keep doing what we're doing? So there is that option,
mm-hmm.
but it's not kind of, you know, one of their, where they're standing up to the federal government and, you know, hollering yet.
So in terms of assessing the programs as they are being run now, with the understanding that this was supposed to put people to work, how would you make, or what would your overall assessment be of the programs to date? Are they working?
Well, I mean, I'm not. I just know that, you know, since 96 there's been drastic reductions, 40-50% in most cases, of the welfare rolls, which is what it was intended to do. And obviously, you know, a good economy helped. But in the last couple of years it's kind of leveled off, and that's what, you know, the senators that sponsored this, when they were explaining it, that the reason that they said is states haven't been as aggressive lately, and so we want to kind of kickstart them to being aggressive on this again. Nobody's quite sure why that is, that it's leveled off, but that's the concern.
And is there anybody out there saying that this kickstart is not going to do what they're to put more people in move more people from welfare to work?
Well, certainly there are advocates and people that are working on the front lines that, you know, really question this, because one of the things that could happen, the way that TANF works is, like I said, there's all these kind of supporting services, like childcare is a big one. You know, if you can't go to work, if, you know, you have someone to take care of at home. And so there's people that are concerned, and, you know, the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, which is a liberal group out here, they take a look at a lot of these things. And they're concerned. They said, well, you know, in order to do all these changes, we're going to need a heck of a lot more money for child care, but you didn't give us that money.
Right.
There's concern that, you know, that what would end up happening is states take a what they call a work-first approach, which is, you know, like, as long as we get them the people on welfare a job, you know, then we just push them into the job, and that will take care of it. But there's advocates that are saying, look, there's a reason why TANF doesn't work that way, and that's because we want to give them a solid foundation of, you know, like, you know, getting their life together so that when they get a job, they can get promoted and they don't have to take, you know, the first minimum wage job, but maybe they'll get some job training and, you know, have a higher paying job that will lead to promotions, and then they'll stay off of welfare longer. So certainly there's that, there's definitely that concern out there.
And where can people get a copy of your report?
You can go on stateline.org, and it's on our front page.
Very good. Stateline.org. Dan Bach, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back to take your calls, comments, and answer your questions when we get back. Stay with me.
Piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hands, boy, they really came in a handy, she said. Matty, don't you whip that boy.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sears. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Soccer Park is moving freely. Northbound 270 is bumper to bumper on either side of 44. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake and Manor and Mason Road look for slight delays this hour. Westbound 270 from Lilac all the way to West Florissant, no problems to report there. Southbound 170 at Page and Olive, slight delays going on. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Lindbergh, look for congestion in pockets. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic going on there as well. Westbound 270 from Illinois 111 to Illinois Route 3, look for traffic to return back to normal after some earlier stalls. Westbound 5570 at the PSP, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 64 at 5570 split, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is on the move. Highway 21 at Fort Hill Trail, look for an injury accident. And northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for no problems to report this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sears. How long does it take to give your home a complete spring makeover? Just 48 hours. At the 48-hour sale going on this Friday and Saturday at Sears, sale ends 4/8/06. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Warmer, partly cloudy this morning and becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon with chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the afternoon hours. Some storms may be severe with damaging winds and large hail. The high should be around 80. For this evening, mostly cloudy, colder, and breezy. A chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening hours and overnight hours. The lows will be in the upper 30s. For Saturday, much cooler, partly cloudy, high in the mid-50s. And Sunday, mostly sunny, with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This Saturday, join Dr. Mary Frances Berry, author of My Face is Black is True, Kelly House and the Struggle for Ex-Slave Reparations, as she explores the African-American struggle for compensation for years of unpaid labor. The Missouri Historical Society, in partnership with the University of Missouri St. Louis, St. Louis University, and in collaboration with Focus St. Louis, is pleased to host the Race, Power, and Money monthly programs. This provocative series explores issues that affect the daily lives of all Americans. Dr. Berry's program this Saturday will be from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. The presentation is $5 for the general public and $4 for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Please call 314-361-9017. Or for more information, visit www.mohistory.org. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Thinking about moving? Think Allstate. If you're looking for some cheap fly-by night, this is not the place to call. If you're looking for first-class service in local and long-distance moving, Allstate is the only choice. Celebrating 77 years of service to St. Louis and the nation. Allstate's Transworld Van Lines, 314-389-6200. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
And a rough, rough way to go. And it's a hard road to travel. And a rough, rough way to go. But I can't turn back. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'll never stop. And my faith will see me through. Let me tell you.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WG. NAU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. You know, I don't know. I think that the Cynthia McKinney story is really a commentary on our times. I think that the Cynthia McKinney story is a statement of who we are, why we do what we do. I think people don't like women. I don't care whether I don't care that there's music out there that says awful things about women. I mean, I don't care from the perspective of that's the starting point of the fact that women are defiled and assaulted and dismissed and disparaged in this country. That's not the starting point for me. The starting point came a long time ago. And the ease with which the thing that is, and I don't even want to say different. The thing that exists now is an atmosphere where it's easier for people to say the things that they had some concern about holding back on. It's easier now. Because there aren't consequences, because people don't care about women and how women are treated in this society. And in particular, people don't care about women of color. When I say people, I'm talking about the institutions within this country. And talking about that there is very little value by institutions. Institutions made up of individuals selected to be part of that institution. There's very little value placed upon women. That's why Neil Bortz can keep his job and call a woman. Let's call a woman, an African woman, a ghetto slut. You can still keep your job after that. Ain't that something? You can, no. And a United States Congresswoman. Let's be clear. A United States Congresswoman, you can say that and still keep your job. Ain't that something? 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, it is. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Great. I wanted to say, talk about the welfare program.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm a what they call a starving real estate agent, and I had to go to a welfare to put in for some food stamps until I could really, you know, get started. And I mean, the time that you have to stand there and just stand at the window to wait to get waited on, it's just crazy. And then once you get waited on, the girls treat you like, oh, you know, like it's just terrible that you have to be in here. And it is terrible that you have to be in there. But the way that they treat you is just, it's unbelievable, you know. And you have paid for this program in a way before you got on there because you're a property owner, you pay taxes. And this is supposed to be some assistance to help you. But I find that we as women treat each other terrible. I mean, and we as black women, from my experience, have treated each other really bad. And I wish we could just stop and kind of like, you know, well, you know, I'm just a paycheck away from being on this welfare assistance myself. And I don't understand. I understand them treating us a certain way. I understand the government. They're trying to soak every dime they can out of you and go give it to anybody else but our community. But I don't understand us treating each other that way.
I think that, well, understand. I guess it depends on which, how you define understand. I think that we have to know that when you are part of a system that every day teaches you, tells you, insists that you have no value, that the lesson is absorbed by some people. And the lesson, when the lesson is absorbed, that means that a person acts in a certain way. If you learn the alphabet, that means that the consequence of that is that you learn how to read. The consequence of being told that you have no value, the consequences of being shown that you have no value, the consequences of those actions cause you, can cause an individual to react and respond in a certain way. This is a society that not all of us, but some of us do that. And this is a society that also, we're not simply talking about race, we're talking about gender. This is a society that had to be forced to have a Title IX program to say we're going to pay the same amount of money to girls athletes as boys athletes. Yeah, as boy athletics, as girls athletics, as boys athletics. We had, and I haven't even got to class yet. So we live in a society that is driven profoundly by almost united on an understanding of an inferiority and a worthlessness of women, of black people, and of people that don't have money, have a lot of money. So. Yeah, that lands somewhere. People right. do act.
And
I mean,
I hear you, and I understand what you're saying, but I'm just wondering, how can we just stop this among each other? We just didn't do this to each other like we do it now. We don't even speak.
Oh, I disagree. I disagree with that. I disagree that. Oh, no. Because I know you're overwhelmed, but no, I disagree. Go to Boston. Try to speak to people in Boston.
I'm used to when you walk up to people. We used to speak.
And again, I
got here to St. Louis, and it's like. I
disagree. Having a trip to the East Coast cleared me up on the fact that we don't speak in the city of St. Louis. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
You're saying that they don't speak in Boston?
Absolutely. When you look people in the face and you say good morning and they don't say good morning to you, to me, that's not speaking. I experienced that in St. Louis. That has not been my, and I'm not from St. Louis. That has not been my experience.
Everybody speaks to you, Liz, but I'm talking about I'm a Mississippian.
You know what?
We speak just a normal good morning, or when you walk into a classroom, good morning. I mean,
okay, and I'm sorry, I gotta roll.
Hey, one more question.
I gotta roll. We're gonna take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
That's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says. And it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Detroit. The head of Ford Motor Corporation, Bill Ford, says he does not foresee the need for his company to consider bankruptcy. Ford admitted the auto business is in a critical position, but Ford is doing well all around the world. He said the most problematic market for the company is the United States, and that can be fixed. Ford has posted a worldwide profit of $2 billion last year. That is down from the $3.4 billion in 2004. He said although his company is in much better shape than General Motors, he's still going to be watching the outcome of labor talks between GM and the United Auto Workers over the situation involving supply company Delphi. And Dateline Cairo. An article in the Egyptian newspaper Al-Gomahura says that President Bush has intentions of invading Sudan and is even using the events in the Darfur region to justify such a move. The president has spoken to the head of NATO about intervening in the Darfur crisis to bring some conclusion to the suffering of the people there. But the paper says the U.S. has no real underlying concern for the population at all. Otherwise, Mr. Bush would not be waiting for the African Union peacekeeping mission to fall apart. The American plan is to have the U.N. Security Council take up the Darfur situation and then have NATO and the United States volunteer to handle the crisis by persuading the Sudanese government that by intervening, it would provide security and a lasting peace for the people. The editorial concludes by charging the American government with supporting the civil war by providing arms to the rebels in order to keep the unrest on the front burner in order to come to the rescue militarily. Sudan is believed to have large oil reserves of high-quality crude along the Nile River and is currently producing about 400,000 barrels of oil a day. This is your wake-up call, Global News. Up till
no more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else are you going to find big screens, little screen televisions? Where else, where else, where else are you going to find washers, dryers? It's springtime. It's time to get a new lawnmower. Come on, get on over to 3425 Union. Have the trifecta of your shopping experience. That's great location. Great prices and great customer service right there in our own city, in the city of St. Louis, 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. When you get on over to Sears, tell Jerome Williams I told you to.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn. All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29, 2006. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week, we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
This Saturday, join Dr. Mary Frances Berry, author of My Face is Black is True, Kelly House and the Struggle for Ex-Slave Reparations, as she explores the African-American struggle for compensation for years of unpaid labor. The Missouri Historical Society, in partnership with the University of Missouri St. Louis, St. Louis University, and in collaboration with Focus St. Louis, is pleased to host the Race, Power, and Money monthly programs. This provocative series explores issues that affect the daily lives of all Americans. Dr. Berry's program this Saturday will be from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. The presentation is $5 for the general public and $4 for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Please call 314-361-9017. Or for more information, visit www.mohistory.org. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 1-877-920-WGNU is my number. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my other phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
My turn? Yes, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Okay. I had some comment on Mrs. McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
Is she a senator or a congresswoman?
She's a congresswoman.
I was feeling that, well, it's my opinion, that the treatment that she's getting, it doesn't lie with us. Women of color know what they are about, and they know what they want, and they know how to value their own self. They have their own value system on themselves. But I think that it is, the treatment of black women lie at the feet of the African-American man whose grief of power and money makes him insensitive to the fact that he has to have...
Are you putting all men in that category?
No, you know.
Just
the ones who are after greed and power.
Okay,
all right. And I think they're kind of jealous and envious of a black woman, that African-American woman that has a mind, you know, and so they dump it on her. Also, I wanted to comment on the lady that said about people speaking in the North and South. I came from the South where even you rode a bus, people would talk to you. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, coming to a room and everybody starts talking. So I know what she feels. Sailors does speak, but not as much as they do in the South.
Okay, and I'll accept that, but people do speak in St. Louis. Now, the further you get away from... No, of course not. Of course, and not everybody in the South speaks either. And I've also noticed that the further you get away from the city of St. Louis, you begin to see it's difficult to get people to speak as frequently as you do in the city proper area. That's a Midwest Southern phenomena. You go to the East Coast and people aren't trying to speak to you.
No.
And they are absolutely not trying to speak. And it was amazing to me that when I was in Boston, I didn't realize how much of a habit it was to speak to people. Because I didn't realize it until I got, you know, the non-responses in Boston. So it's different. Okay.
All right. And also about the welfare system, I had a
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, John.
The Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression had a news conference yesterday.
How was it?
And it was excellent. There was some unbelievable information that came out and didn't get recorded, but I'd like to share it with your audience. To me, it's just very damning of the St. Louis Police Department and the police board. First off, the police board is in contempt of a court order that was issued in 1998. And that court order was in the Gregory Bell case.
Right.
The department was required to make some reforms to their complaint system.
And they have yet to. And that was 1998. That's almost 10 years ago.
That's right. In 1999, they were... there was a motion filed by the Bell attorneys saying, you know, that the department was in noncompliance, and they never did comply. I just got a letter from the department admitting that the policy statements that they were supposed to have made can't be found.
Can't be found.
Can't be found.
And John, that is, and that speaks very loudly to all of this smack that we hear from police officers and from the police department that, well, we already have a civilian review board in the board, the police board. Well, looky.
The police board has not been doing its job at all. And the other thing that came out at this news conference is just what a bad job of oversight they've been doing. There was a student at WashU who did a study, and there has not been a sustained complaint of verbal abuse since 1996.
Wow.
There has not been a sustained complaint of physical abuse since 1998.
And that would be the Gregory Bell case?
That's the time of the Gregory Bell case seems to be when they stopped sustaining complaints.
Wow.
But this is citywide. You know, any complaint that comes into the department, they have not sustained any of those, any abuse complaint.
Wow.
Since 1998.
Wow.
And 2001, these statistics are analyzed through 2003. From 2001 to 2003, not a single complaint on abuse has been sustained. And that's when Slay and Mokwa came in.
Wow.
The police board has done nothing about this. On Wednesday, they're going to be voting on a civilian review board, which they control, which they hire and fire the members. And it makes no sense to have a review board, which could be embarrassed by the findings of a civilian review board, to have a police board that is controlling that review board.
No, John, not even that. How can you hand over a civilian review responsibilities to a board that is in contempt of not reporting on or not putting a system in place to address people's complaints to the police department?
I mean, if there's ever been a case of the fox guarding the hen house, this is it. And, you know, it just makes no sense whatsoever to give these people control of civilians.
They're in contempt. They can't. They're precluded from overseeing anything. They're contempt in overseeing what they already have.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's just a travesty and a sham. And the mayor is out there on TV saying, well, I'm in favor of civilian review.
Yeah, he was in favor of review in the St. Louis Public Schools, too. How'd that work out?
That's right.
And I got to roll, John, but okay. Thank you. So can you fax me that information or email it to me?
And we want people to show up at the police board Wednesday morning at 9:15.
Very good. Wednesday at 9:15. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. And suicide bombers staged a Shiite mosque in Baghdad today, striking it. At least 50 people are dead. ABC's David Curley is in the Iraqi capital with the latest.
We have just heard from the government a call for Baghdad residents, if they're able, to give blood, because so many were wounded in this attack. We know dozens dead, and it has to be dozens upon dozens who have been injured as well.
The blast comes a day after an explosion at a Shiite shrine in Najaf. A legal problem? Maybe not. A credibility issue? Maybe. ABC's Ann Compton has more on former White House aide Louis Libby's claim that President Bush told him to leak declassified information.
Democrats call it a shocking revelation in the CIA leak case, but Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez argues a president has the power to release intelligence if it enhances national security.
As a general matter, I think the president could decide to declassify information.
But Ambassador Joseph Wilson, whose wife's CIA cover was eventually revealed, remains furious.
Well, I, for one, would like to know, what did the president know? What did the vice president know? When did they know it? And I think the American people deserve an answer.
The new court documents do not suggest President Bush okayed revealing her name, only that he and Vice President Cheney wanted intelligence evidence shared with some reporters. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The president's focused on jobs today.
These millions of new jobs are evidence of an economic resurgence that is strong, broad, and benefiting all Americans.
More on the numbers from ABC's Luis Schiavone.
The biggest job growth was in the service sector, with more people getting work in retail, education and health services, and the leisure and hospitality businesses. Government jobs increased slightly, too. However, manufacturing continued to lose jobs. In March, the average hourly wage was $16.49.
This is ABC News.
Thanks for helping me move, Liz.
Sure.
Time for that California Chardonnay we love.
Ooh, Corbett Canyon?
Canyon.
But we're never going to find a corkscrew.
Oh, don't need one. Got the new Corbett Canyon Premium Wine Cask.
Clever.
Keeps air out, flavor in. Just turn the tap for a glass of crisp, refreshing Chardonnay.
Where'd you find it?
Premium Wine Section near Woodbridge.
Bet a woman invented it.
Why's that?
Clever, practical, don't need a tool to open it.
Good taste is worth repeating. The new Premium Wine Cask, only from Corbett Canyon. Corbett Canyon Vineyards, San Luis Obispo, California.
Top three reasons I'm sprucing up my home this spring. Number three, if you could see my yard, well, you'd understand. Number two, I've wanted a new kitchen for, oh, about 2 decades. And the number one reason, I can do it all this spring, but pay for it later.
Now through April 9th, get special deferred financing on purchases throughout the store when you use your Home Depot consumer credit card. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid in U.S. only. See stores for details.
This was supposed to be a day off for the Senate, but with no deal on immigration reform, they're going to be at it today. Republicans and Democrats were reportedly close to an agreement, but they became bogged down in the details. Supporters of the deal could find out later on this hour if they have the votes to pass it this time. No. He didn't steal their ideas. The Da Vinci Code trial is over.
Within minutes of the judge's ruling, author Dan Brown issued a statement saying that the verdict showed that this claim was utterly without merit, adding, "I'm still astonished that these two authors chose to file their suit at all." Brown said he was eager to get back to work and pleased with today's outcome, not only from a personal standpoint, but also as a novelist.
That's ABC's Linda Alvin in London. A Missouri family must feel pretty lucky today. They were in their SUV in Utah when an avalanche swept them off a mountain road. Everyone is safe, the parents, their 5 kids, and 2 resort workers who hitched a ride with them. I'm Darielle Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panther Friendmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, the Missouri Department of Mental Health will investigate the recent deaths of 2 residents at a St. Louis area rehabilitation center. Yesterday, the State Mental Health Commission ordered the investigation into the deaths at the Northwest Rehabilitation Center near Overland. The department will also hold public hearings on the matter. There is no word on the schedule for the hearings. The shift of power at the St. Louis Public School Board is official. Newly elected members Peter Downs and Donna Jones took the oath of office yesterday. Downs and Jones unseated Darnetta Quinkscale and James Buford in Tuesday's election, placing the board members supported by Mayor Francis Slay in the minority. Finally this hour, Missouri Congressman Todd Akin says there are still a lot of questions that need to be answered about legislation that would create electronic medical records technology. Akin is a member of the House Small Business Subcommittee on Regulatory Reform and Oversight, which held a hearing yesterday on the proposed technology. He says we have to take into account that patients' medical records are their own business.
And that's exactly the kinds of questions that we have to ask and we have to be answering, and that is, you know, how do we provide the necessary access to medical information without compromising people's privacy?
Akin says this technology is a good thing because it would allow a doctor access to a patient's medical records by simply logging onto a database. He says doctors would be able to give the patient better and more complete care. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by McDonald's. Enjoy a little daylight savings at McDonald's. Stop in for one of 3 delicious breakfast extra value meals, like an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and small coffee, all for under $3. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. Eastbound 70 at Pine, look for that to be closed due to an accident. Traffic's being diverted onto Memorial Drive. Expect delays approaching the Edward Jones Dome. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason, traffic moving slow as you have a slow-moving vehicle in the left lane is closed. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for that traffic to be easing this hour. Westbound 70 at the press section and Pine, vehicle slowing to take a look at the accident, and the left lane is blocked. Adelaide at 70, look for an accident there. Highway D at Double D, there's a report of an accident as well. Reeves Barracks on and off ramps to northbound 55 are closed due to construction work. Route 21, about 2 miles north of Route A, there's a report of an accident, and police are alternating traffic through one lane this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT has begun improvements that will soon make Highway I-44 smoother and safer. This will take time, so visit MoDOT.org before you hit the road to locate I-44 work zones. That's MoDOT.org. Arrive alive. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Warmer, partly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy this afternoon, and thunderstorms beginning this afternoon with severe storms possibly, with large hail and damaging winds. The high should be around 80. For this evening, breezy, much colder, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the evening hours and overnight with a low in the upper 30s. For Saturday, much cooler, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Sunday, look forward to mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 60s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 63. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This Saturday, join Dr. Mary Frances Berry, author of My Face is Black is True, Kelly House and the Struggle for Ex-Slave Reparations, as she explores the African-American struggle for compensation for years of unpaid labor. The Missouri Historical Society, in partnership with the University of Missouri-St. Louis, St. Louis University, and in collaboration with Focus St. Louis, is pleased to host the Race, Power, and Money monthly programs. This provocative series explores issues that affect the daily lives of all Americans. Dr. Berry's program this Saturday will be from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. The presentation is $5 for the general public and $4 for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Please call 314-361-9017. Or for more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
Get in the zone. AutoZone. The AutoZone Rewards Program is the easiest way to save money every time you work on your car. The more you shop at AutoZone, the more you save. Every qualifying purchase at participating AutoZone stores helps you earn free AutoZone gift cards worth $20 each. Redeem your rewards points for oil changes, tune-ups, parts, chemicals, accessories, you name it. The AutoZone Rewards Program. Some restrictions apply. For details, get to AutoZone now.
Here's what's coming up Monday on the award-winning Wake Up Call. At 7 o'clock, we'll be examining how the president managed to sign a bill reducing the budget deficit that was different from the one the House had passed. Does that mean the president now can step around the Constitution as he sees fit? Then on Mondays at 9, we'll look at corruption in the World Bank. Paul Wolfowitz has been in that job for over a year now, and although problems were there before him, he's not really done much to make the situation better, except to bring in some cronies from the Bush administration to help prevent any accountability. Be here bright and early Monday for more of the issues that matter most to you on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, tell me, sisters.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, and we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. Healthy Futures will not be joining us this morning, so I will be open for your calls and your comments. This is Liz Brown. And the wake-up call, 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Jesse Todd, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. First of all, I'm excited about us winning that election. And thank you for all the good work you did and the information you put out there.
All right, now.
Okay, the school board election showed what progressive people can do when we form a united front. You know, and so the other thing I want to Saturday, Ellen and myself are filling out circuit breakers application and also taxes for disabled people and seniors. Saturday, April the 8th, from 10 to 12 at Trinity Church.
Tomorrow.
Yes,
from
tomorrow.
All right, tomorrow from 10 to 12.
And Trinity is located at 600 North Euclid. And you may qualify if you meet the following criteria. You're 65 years or older, are 100% disabled and has income less than $25,000. You must bring all proof of income. You must bring rent receipts and our personal property tax receipts. If there are anyone that have any questions, they can call me at home at 531-4940. Again, thank you so much, Liz.
All right, thank you, Jesse. You did a great job.
Well, thank you.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jerry.
Yeah, Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
I'm very happy at the results of the election.
I know that's
But what
right.
I want to know if, since Downs has been elected to the school board, will he continue to be a guest on your program?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I heard that. Thanks a lot.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah,
I heard
that.
I mean, what has changed is now that you actually have a school board member that you're talking to,
right,
and that you can bring your concerns with,
okay,
and someone that's going to be reporting on what's going on in the school board. Nothing has changed in terms. I mean, we've moved the enemy. We took the trash out on Election Day,
yeah,
but there are all kinds of. When you wait that long, when trash has been allowed to accumulate for as long as it has for the last 3 years, we got to go in and we got to do a whole lot of cleaning up afterwards. And so we took the trash out, but we got to go and wash the floors. We got to wash the windows. We got to make the beds. We got to do everything.
Clean the toilets.
Clean the toilets. Do all of that kind of stuff. We got the trash out, but now we got to go clean up from the accumulation of it. So there are many things to be keeping our eyes on, whether it's Can't Teach for America, whether it is reopening the alternative schools, getting rid of Aramark, getting rid of Sodexo, all of these things. We have to keep. It's not done. We won the election, but with the work of all kinds of people out there. Two great people have been elected to the board. Now let's get some work done. and clean up the house after we've taken the trash out.
Okay, and thanks a lot, Liz.
All right, now, 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, did I say much? To talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, young lady. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
This is TC.
Yes, TC.
I've been a listener. I just haven't been in a position to call. I love you dearly.
All right, now.
I love you dearly. Cynthia McKinney, what's your take on that? And with time delay, I think it's a smokescreen. What's going on with this clown administration? I still think it's a smokescreen. I think she's a strong, beautiful black woman. And I think somebody said there's only 14 black women in the Congress. And no doubt this guy should have known who she was. And she's not the only one who go around that checkpoint. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the fact of the matter is that it was the job of this security guard to know who the members of Congress are. That's his job. Okay, if you're in charge of security and you are guarding the House of Representatives and the United States Senate, and you don't know by face, by sight, who the Congress people are, then you should lose your job, number one. Number two, there is a thing in Congress, and well, there's a thing all over the world. It's a thing called ego. And I think that one of the epicenters of ego land is the United States Congress, and then the capital of ego land is the United States Senate. They walk and talk in a way that you need to bow down, and you know, I'm a big deal, okay? Let's just put it that way. They believe that they are a big deal. They have huge egos. Fair enough, I understand that. So I don't think Cynthia McKinney was acting in any other way than any other United States congressman or congresswoman or United States senator has ever acted in terms of, you need to know who I am. I don't need to tell you who I am because it's your job to know who I am. And how dare you, after I've identified myself as a United States congresswoman, how dare you put your hands on me? That is ego, and that is something that Washington is full of. And the question becomes one of whether or not an African woman is allowed to have the same type of ego and the same type of response that people that are not of African descent have, and also her gender issue. That cop should have known who she was. He shouldn't have put his hands on her when she said who she was, and the fact that she felt like she didn't need to have her little pin, and that she's doing what other people are doing, that's the ego part of Washington. That is an accepted way. We had a vice president that shot somebody in the heart, in the face, and he said, now what? I can do that, and I don't have to tell anybody that I shot somebody in the face and in the heart. And this woman can't walk by a checkpoint as a United States congresswoman and not have an attitude because the person doesn't know who she is. We can have a vice president shot somebody in the face and said, shut up, I don't need to tell you nothing about that.
And one other thing, I think, and I don't know why it happened, but then again I do. I think she should have got her seniority back.
Nancy absolutely.
And also, I'm glad I'm glad she lost. The real deal showed her what was happening when she ran up against that Caucasian male for senator.
Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
The young lady that beat Cynthia, and then she ran for senator.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, and I'm glad she lost, by the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Her
and
money
I'm glad
came
she
from
outside. And I'm glad that sometimes when people lose their way, there's a certain group of folks that would always let you know certain things. I don't want to get in too deep, but maybe you can smooth it a little further, what I'm trying to say. But I'm glad she lost.
All right. And I got a roll. But thank you, TC.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Christine.
Yes. I'd like to ask you or your listening audience, did they hear about a recent town hall meeting in New Orleans at the Sports Dome, and the guest speakers were Bill Cosby, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton?
It was put together by Operation Push. It was advertised in a couple of different places that this town hall meeting was going to take place. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I know it must. It was Irene J. Smith. We were riding someplace and we were looking at the ad for it. It was a print ad for it. And all of the photographs of the people that were would be in attendance in this town hall meeting. And I was marveling to Irene. I said, look at these faces. First of all, there's two women, and one of them is a white woman, okay? The rest are all men of African descent. Fine, cool. I understand. Secondly, looking at the age of all of the people that they brought down there, I didn't like the fact that there's only one black woman, and there were only two women, period, and one of them was white. So only one black woman, and very few young people, no young people, and then a bunch of old heads like Bill Cosby, who was making fun of, who was demonizing the people in the Ninth Ward. He was the one that demonized all of them, and now he's supposed to come and speak on behalf of those people, or speak in a constructive way about what should happen to those people. It was, I thought it was an awful assembly of people that they brought together to speak on that issue.
I don't know, the word I got was pretty lively, and there was a lot of pointing fingers and blaming the victims.
Well, Bill Cosby was there. Why wouldn't that happen? If Bill Cosby was there, the discussion was, it's all your fault. Y'all should have fixed your own damn.
I just wonder, was anything came out of it constructively? I just wonder, was it just some jawboning?
All I can say is, based upon who was asked to speak, it began problematically.
Mm-hmm.
It began problematically. You don't ask Bill Cosby to come and speak to the needs of poor people after he's demonized them. That's not the person that you ask. That's like asking Newt Gingrich to come and speak to black people. You don't do that. They have nothing to say because they don't know anything.
I wonder just what improvements have they done down there for the poor people. You don't hear of anything, I mean, constructively, that they've done, even to bring in those portable homes. They haven't been able to do that even.
Right. Thanks for your call.
You're
Christine. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number, that would be 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call?
How are you doing, Leah?
I'm outstanding.
You know, if it don't be for you, I wouldn't have voted. I just became that bitter since that mayor let us down, Bosley. I just forgot voting, but I heard you say it. So I took 20 more people with me in my ward and voted.
All right now. How'd that work out for you, Malik?
It worked good.
All right now.
Yeah, it worked good.
All
cause
right.
I had just about given up on voting, period. And as far as this cop is concerned, that put his hands on the congressman, number one, they should have a female on the premises when it comes to scrutiny like that. No male is supposed to touch a woman. And that's law. He's not supposed to put his hand on her, period.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, they're supposed to have a female. If that came or that, it shouldn't even came or that, he should have known about face.
He should have known. He's in charge of security. He's on security. How do you not know the face of all the Congress people? How do you not know that?
When you don't want to know, you don't know.
You want to
harass black people. That's what it is.
You want to just harass folks.
That's all it is.
You know, it is absolutely indefensible. And here's the other piece of it. Everybody in Washington, D.C. has a super-sized, can I get some fries with that ego?
You got that right.
They have. And coup. Some people think they're rock stars. Cool. So she's acting the same way that every other ego-driven person at Washington, D.C. is. You should know who I am. I shouldn't have to explain to you at the place where I go to work every single day. I shouldn't have to get out my ID like I'm Jane Smith from Tuscanawi. Okay? I shouldn't have to do that. So she was acting the same way that every congressman, congresswoman, and senator acts.
You know what? Liz, I got in my bank, when I go to get my check cashed, I've been going there so long, they know me.
Mm-hmm.
One day, the same woman asked me for my identification.
And you had attitude. You had an attitude.
I come in there, don't you know me?
That's a fact. You had an attitude.
I had an attitude.
Yes, you did.
And what I did, they don't ask me no more.
Okay,
sure,
they don't.
I'm just
okay.
A little man. I got an attitude. I know what she does.
Okay, and she's a United States congressman and some little old security person at the checkpoint put his hands on her. I know she had an attitude.
That's what I apologize.
And if the Vice President of the United States can shoot somebody in the face and the heart and not have to explain or say nothing to nobody about it, she doesn't have to say nothing.
A 100% criminal act that the Vice President
100% criminal act.
He said, don't even question him about
it. Okay, and I don't have to tell you about it. And don't ask me no more about it.
If that's not the epitome of arrogance, I don't know what is.
Thanks for your call.
You have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Kevin.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you think that black males, I want to use that specifically, become more conservative as they get older?
As a rule, no. I don't think so at all. I don't think that men of African descent become more conservative as they get older. I think that some do. But as a rule, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I have a whole family full of them. I'm going to go, I guess, into my own personal perspective of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got through listening to one of your callers who defended. He's a leader. See, that's my religion. I've been hearing him for years. He's a leader of the community. He organizes. He defended Dave Linehan.
Who's that? Who did that?
Because of my religion.
Who did that?
Malik. On the other side, he's like a leader to me. I don't agree with everything he says, but he's always pushing issues. He's always out of front. You know, he says he is anyway. I'm talking about talk show leader. I mean, I've been hearing him for years, and I couldn't believe it.
Okay, well, Kevin, I'm not interested in bringing specific personalities to this discussion of what happened to David Linehan. You kept going on. I couldn't understand what you were saying. But if you want to talk about the issue of the NAACP allowing a bigot to or pushing for a bigot to get their job back, we can have that discussion.
Okay, well, you know, and there's a little bird came in my ear. All those people that's going against it from the Urban League, too, you can't bring issues out of this.
Wait a minute, huh? What are you talking about?
All those people that are going against Mr. Crumpton,
okay,
who I disagree with,
disagree.
They all knew he was going to say that.
Okay.
And now they're all corrupt. They all knew he was turning, and now they all turned against Crumpton, which they should.
They should.
We should be leery of those people in the Urban League and other representatives who are going against them except one, because they all knew about it.
I think that's a fair observation. Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Car phone. Car phone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Ms. Brown, you remember a couple of years ago when a judge was in Ohio, she was drunk, and the State Patrol pulled her over, and she had an attitude with him?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, we don't forget about those things, but we want to get on this black woman and say, oh, she was wrong. But, you know, and that lady, she's still a judge right now today.
That's a fact. And again, this is about ego and expression of ego that is acceptable. It is acceptable in Washington, D.C. for United States congressmen, United States congresswomen, United States senators, when they walk into a restaurant, they expect a certain amount of deference. It's acceptable in Washington, D.C. When they walk into a room, they expect and are given a certain amount of deference out of who their title, what their title is. So for Cynthia McKinney to expect that the guard that is guarding the place that she works, where she works every day, to know her face, I don't think that is unreasonable. And for her to have an attitude when he didn't, and have an attitude when he put his hands on her, that's a natural response. And there's nothing to apologize for. If we live in a world where the same people who are piling on Cynthia McKinney said that there was no problem with the Vice President of the United States shooting somebody in the face and the heart and not having to explain about it, then what's the deal here? What is the deal here? This is no crime that she has committed. What's the deal here?
Yes, ma'am. Have a nice day, ma'am.
You know, it's not about the crime. It's about the person that stands accused of it.
Say it again.
All right, now. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. John.
Hi there. How are you this morning?
I am outstanding.
Did the 18th Ward do their job?
18th Ward did their job and then some.
We got 100% percentage-wise for our candidate.
Excellent.
And,
excellent.
We're going to continue doing it. I take a pride in our community.
Absolutely.
They came out and they did the right thing by voting for Peter Downs and Donna Jones.
Donna Jones, Peter Downs, Peter Downs, Donna Jones, absolutely.
And I take pride in you because you really helped get the message out. Along with the people in the community, they know what they was going to do, and they did their job. And I say thanks to people like you and people like Pam Talbot and the rest of the people in the community. They know how they were going to vote, and they did it. And we did it from the grassroots level.
That's a fact. That's a fact. When you're outspent 10 to 1, when the opposition has 100, and I want to underscore something really quick about this, the school board election. They just didn't have tens of thousands of dollars to spend in this election. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars prior to this election in order to tee up Craig Williams as the centerpiece of their election campaign. So there have been hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on this campaign, and they lost, and the trash was taken out.
And I appreciate you to the most.
All right, now, thank you, John, and I appreciate you. Great job. Great, great, great job.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Yusef.
Yes, you know, the Post-Dispatch described, and I thought it was kind of odd, they described Peter Downs and Donna Jones as insurgents.
Isn't that something? Now, wait a minute. What's the other place that the Post-Dispatch used that description for?
We all know. You know,
well, no, let's just say, let's just say
it. But look, Liz, that ain't what I call for. I call to talk about this white man calling himself a congressman who's backing this immigration law. What's his name? Chicago, whatever, some kind of name. But he's one of the major proponents of the immigration law.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw an expose on him the other night on Channel 9 or whatever. You know, they were talking about him, but.
Well, share with us what the your observation.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at this thing like this. Now, he's talking about how he's against immigration, you know, and the laws, you know, for, you know, immigrants, you know, coming into this country and everything, and they shouldn't be here or whatnot. But look, this guy was a former high school teacher, right, and had a janitorial service, you know, as, you know, his you know, second income, or, you know, he was a proprietor, sole proprietor with janitorial service. How many backs of Mexican laborers did he get rich off of, you know, with this business that he had? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, let's not start in a stereotypical way to assume that his employees were Hispanic or Mexican, unless we know that. Do we know that they were Mexican?
Well, I'm just assuming that.
I know,
and
I'm saying that you're assuming that stereotypically, and that's my concern.
Well, yeah, you know, I understand that, you know, but I'm saying, you know, he's in Southern California, you know, with this, you know, janitorial service, and, you know, I'm just, you know, reading between the lines.
No, you're drawing a stereotypical conclusion. We don't know that. I mean, and I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable to assume that the people that he hired were immigrants, legal or otherwise. You may very well be right, but I don't like to start there, you know.
But I'm just saying, you know, suppose that were to happen or had happened,
mm-hmm.
and now, you know, he's using this platform here to, you know, so-called, you know, eradicate a problem that, you know, the United States, you know, has. I find that very, very racial.
All right. Thanks for your
all
call.
Right. Mm-hmm.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, Liz, how are you doing today?
Hey, Vader, how are you?
I'm all right. Everybody, it's our responsibility to listen to the Liz Brown Show each and every morning. I just have to say that before I go into what I want to say.
Well, you know what? I want you to listen on tonight at 8 o'clock.
Are you coming on tonight?
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm going to be interviewed on the Ken Dotson show tonight. I'm going to be interviewed.
Oh,
so,
that's just me and you, right?
Yeah, uh-huh, at 8 o'clock tonight. So,
I'm going to have my radio on.
Yeah, check that out, because it's going to be weird to be on the other side of the mic to be interviewed like that. So check that out.
Wow, that'd be interesting. Liz, white people, they don't care any type of injustice. When it was Dick Cheney, I couldn't hear none of the big that normally call this station to comment on Dick Cheney. Everybody gave him a pass. But when it came to Sidney McKinney, they tried to be as bad and rotten as they can be. I believe a lot of them need to seek Jesus and get help. Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Good. This is Dr. Klein's calling. I just wanted to call and congratulate you and the others on the fine effort, and I want you to know I really appreciate everything you've done in keeping us informed about this election. I worked the polls on Tuesday.
Now, where did you work?
I worked with George Cotton over in front of New City School.
Uh-huh.
And, it's amazing, Liz. George Cotton and I, we were there handing out sample ballots. 10 feet from us was a gentleman working for Buford and Clingscale. And, you know, this gentleman told us he was actually being paid $10 an hour to be out there.
They had that kind of money all across the city. They had that money. One of the interesting things on the north side is that walking the polls and driving the polls, we talked to a number of different people that were handing out the opposition literature and found out that some of the people were being paid $60. One specific person in the 27th ward, I asked him how much he was getting paid. He said $60, and I informed him that each ward organization had been paid $100 to $120 as money to pay the poll workers. So what is happening with you is that somebody's skimming your money off the top and only giving you $60. Started a whole lot of stuff at a whole lot of different places with some of these workers because they were supposed to get $120. And the other piece of it, you know what happens as a result of that, it was difficult to find a lot of poll workers that normally work the polls because you're being outbid by Slay and Civic Progress.
Sure.
So that was one of the other challenges, and that's why it was so nice to see so many volunteers, people that didn't
absolutely
get paid, come out to do this, because the people that need the money, you know, I ain't mad at you. Go get your $120.
No.
Just don't hand the stuff out.
You know, I'm normally involved in patient care during that time, but I told my office I needed to be involved in kid care that day.
Very good. And how'd that work out? How'd that work out for you?
It worked out great.
There you go.
we like I say, the difference was, I mean, we had people out there that truly knew about our candidates and we supported them. They had people out there that they were just paying and knew nothing about the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that made the difference. People spoke. You heard the article in The American saying the angry voted. No, the angry did not vote. The informed voted.
I ain't ashamed. I was mad. I was mad as heck. Yes, the angry vote and the angry and informed vote. Because with feces on the floor of our children, we're paying tens of millions of dollars to Sodexo. If you ain't mad, then something wrong with you. Yeah, I'm mad, and I ain't ashamed. And I was informed.
Yeah, but we're mad because we were informed.
There you go.
And we got information from you and others, and I just want to say thank you, and I was proud to be a part of that.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. Those are my digits. Handle your business. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
We'll set you free.
Well, now.
I heard the nice lady, the Vashon alumni lady, say those nice things about me. Yes, you're about me, Miss Brown. I like you, too. And you like my song? That's all I sang, Miss Brown. Most Kelly came in. I sang the Ding Dong song, Miss Brown. And I'm going to say it again one more time for you. Ding Dong, Donetta is gone. Big Bad Donetta is gone. One more thing, Miss Brown.
Yes.
I watched Donnybrook last night.
Oh,
they
Lord.
Said Charles Brennan, they were talking about the school board. He said that when he talked to Darnetta when she was on the board, when they closed the
16 schools down.
Uh-huh.
He asked Darnetta, has she been in those schools? She know what she told. You know what she told him?
Nope.
No.
Nope. But
I
then,
said,
but then
Donnybrook.
But wait a minute. But then Donnybrook supports that board the entire the 3 years. Now all of a sudden they raise
now
a question. Now all of a sudden.
And Miss Brown, I want to let you know you have pulled so many people together on this bad board, and I want Francis Tackey Slater to know. Stay out of the board's business. You stay in City Hall. I can't name a mayor from Clayton, Ladue, Parkway School District that doesn't get in the school board's business. He's always meddling. But this will teach you one thing, like you said, Miss Brown. We took that board back. That board belongs to us.
That's a fact.
Those are our children
down
there.
That's a fact. And
they belong to us.
And it's our money. It's our money. It is not. It is not.
Our money.
It's not.
Like I said, Miss Brown, and he gets on the air. Well, he only, Francis Slay says, he only won by 3%. And I'm willing to work with all of them. I hope he doesn't undo. I hope they don't undo what Darnetta them done. And I hope they get along with Craig Weed. Oh, Miss Brown, he didn't even congratulate her, Miss Brown.
Well, you know that the fact of the matter is that Francis Slay is, aside from all of his other deficiencies, he is numerically challenged as well, mm-hmm. because it's a mandate. When you lost in a super big way when you spent $100,000 on an election and your candidates did, and the other opposition had maybe one of them only had $2,000. Okay, no, you got smacked.
You got short.
You got smacked.
Yes, you did. That board belongs to us.
Because the fact of the matter, the fact of the matter is that Francis Slay and his ilk threw every single thing from a nasty article in the World, a lie about Peter Downs in the World, a horrible lie about Peter Downs in the World. They threw everything plus their mama's dirty kitchen sink at this, and you lost. Oh baby, you lost big time. You got smacked, and that was a mandate, and that was a statement about nobody likes the work that you have done on this board. If you don't feel that as a mandate, got something else for you.
Thank you,
got
Ms.
something
Brown.
Else for you.
And Miss Brown, if Danetta didn't get the song, I hope somebody sing that song to her. I hope it's you or somebody give her the ding dong song.
All right now.
Have a nice day, Miss Brown.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Alfred.
Yes, come on. I'd like to ask you two questions.
Sure.
Okay. Do you think the school board members should get paid?
That's a good question, Alfred. I'm torn because if it becomes a paid position, then we may have some people that are just looking to get a job as opposed to people that are looking to pursue a conviction about their concern about the school board. On the other hand, you know, if you pay somebody, I mean, I would love to be able to pay somebody like a Donna Jones a salary so that she can focus on the board with 100% of her effort, because it's a whole lot of hard work. I'm torn between that, Alfred. I can't really say.
Okay, I was just thinking about Peter Downs. I don't think, I hear that he's not really what you call a man with some money, huh?
I have no idea about the financial situation of anybody, and I don't want to say that. So.
Yeah, okay. I just think that they should get paid,
mm-hmm.
because... What, they spend about 20 hours a week?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's more than that. Alfred, you make a good point. You make a good point.
I would say at least $35,000. You're paying I won't call any names. You're paying a person, they boss, but
$300,000. Craig Williams makes $25,000. No, $25,000 a month. Let's
a
just
month,
be clear.
Yeah.
$25,000 a month.
A month. So, you know, you can pay these people $30,000 or $40,000.
You know, I feel you. I feel you, Alfred. Thanks for your call.
Then.
All right, you take care and have a great weekend.
You do the same.
454-0400. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me.
I love you, and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true, because you're my black brother.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Lagos. There are calls for Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo to resign because of charges he has broken the Constitution. His own vice president is leading the opposition for Obasanjo to leave because he wants to run for a third term, and that is against the Constitution of Nigeria. The two men fell out last August when the president accused his vice president of being disloyal.
The National Congress is going to give consideration this year to at least 100 proposed changes to the Nigerian Constitution, one of which includes extending the president's time in office from 2 to 3 terms. The issue has caused a deep split between the ruling People's Democratic Party and public opinion throughout Nigeria. And Dateline Washington. The Government Accountability Office is out with a report that says tens of millions of dollars are missing from donations that were sent from other countries that were supposed to go to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina. The GAO says that bureaucratic mistakes by as many as 8 government agencies caused that money not to be accounted for and to be used to help the people who have been suffering. Part of the problem seems to be none of the agencies is used to being on the receiving end of donations and didn't have a clue as to how to handle the money. Untold amounts have been placed in accounts that bear no interest, and that means money has been lost that could have been earned to expand the relief effort. There is another $400 million that has been pledged but not yet received, and the GAO says changes need to be made right now so that future oversights can be eliminated. Representative Henry Waxman says it didn't do any good to get outside help if it failed to get into the hands of the people who most needed it. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, this is Ken Dodson, host of The Ken Dodson Show. And I want to let you know about a guest that I'm going to have on my show this week. I'm going to have the phenomenal Liz Brown on The Ken Dodson Show this Friday from 8 till 9. I'm going to examine a side of Liz Brown that you've never seen before. It's an hour conversation with Liz Brown this Friday on The Ken Dodson Show. I'll see you then.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, all of that good stuff right there at Sears, the Sears in the city of St. Louis, 3425 Union. If you need a lawnmower, if you need some tools, if you need some exercise equipment, got that. Get on down to Sears at 3425 Union. Great service, great deals, and you're right in your own city. 3425 Union, Sears, where else?
This Saturday, join Dr. Mary Frances Berry, author of My Face is Black is True, Kelly House and the Struggle for Ex-Slave Reparations, as she explores the African-American struggle for compensation for years of unpaid labor. The Missouri Historical Society, in partnership with the University of Missouri-St. Louis, St. Louis University, and in collaboration with Focus St. Louis, is pleased to host the Race, Power, and Money monthly programs. This provocative series explores issues that affect the daily lives of all Americans. Dr. Berry's program this Saturday will be from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. The presentation is $5 for the general public and $4 for Missouri Historical Society members. Reservations are required. Please call 314-361-9017. Or for more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
It's tax time. Where are you going to go to get them done? Only one place. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282. Why? Because he's honest. Because they're dependable. Because they're respectful. And because they have a check cashing place right there. You can cash your check right there at 1408 North Kings Highway, Suite 113A. He's been there before the other guys got here, and he'll be here after they leave. Richard Smith's Tax Service, 367-1282.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Here's what's coming up Monday on the award-winning Wake Up Call. At 7 o'clock, we'll be examining how the president managed to sign a bill reducing the budget deficit that was different from the one the House had passed. Does that mean the president now can step around the Constitution as he sees fit? Then on Mondays at 9, we'll look at corruption in the World Bank. Paul Wolfowitz has been in that job for over a year now, and although problems were there before him, he's not really done much to make the situation better, except to bring in some cronies from the Bush administration to help prevent any accountability. Be here bright and early Monday for more of the issues that matter most to you on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back. Are we going to do something special here to let you know that it's time for the drawing? We'll do that. We're going to do something special from now on to let you know, because it's time for the Liz Brown Wake Up Call Because We Care package drawing. Stay on the line. I'll be with you in just a moment. But right now, as we crank out the old machine here, the big machine with all of the names and numbers, this is a special giveaway this week. I have some fiction books for the ladies. Flipping the Script by Alicia Ford. Oh, you didn't really answer my question, Sabrina. What will it take if you wake up one day and find that you can't do it all by yourself? This is a book for the ladies. How about this book? In Search of Pretty Young Black Men. Oh, my goodness, I'm blushing. And you're also going to find in your Liz Brown Because We Care package a book, Cosmopolitan Girls and a Woman's Worth. That's Tracy Price Thompson. Oh, she's a national best-selling author of Black Coffee and Chocolate Sangria. Yes, yes, yes. And a whole lot of other good stuff in your Because We Care Liz Brown Wake Up Call package. Oh, okay, the machine's rolling. Who's it going to be? Some lucky lady out there has these wonderful, wonderful books, In Search of Pretty Black Young Men. Whew, whew. All right, opening it up. Here we go. Who do we have? Dorothy Waterford. Congratulations. You are the winner of the first Liz Brown Because We Care Wake Up Call package. All right. We're opening it up. Evelyn Collier, congratulations. You are the two winners in today's Liz Brown Wake Up Call Because We Care package. Oh, enjoy these books, ladies. Enjoy these books. And for those of you that didn't get in this week, that's okay. You have next week. We'll do it all over again. Thank you very much for joining us on the drawing, and let me get back to the callers here. But again, congratulations out to Evelyn Collier and Dorothy Waterford. You got some steamy hot gifts. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. Car phone.
Yeah, Liz.
Yes.
What is the actual budget of the St. Louis City School District?
Tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, because I was talking to someone recently. They were asking me. I couldn't remember. I know you talked about it before.
I do too. I just don't remember the specific number off the top of my head. But it's tens of millions of dollars.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. 454-0400, 454-6609. That's my fax. Get up. Get to me. Maxine.
Yes, my name is Maxine. How are you doing, Liz?
I am outstanding, Maxine.
Good. I've been so busy the past 2 years. I haven't had the great opportunity to meet you. This is my second time calling in.
All right.
First, I want to say thank you for giving us coverage to offset the deliberate plan of not informing the black people over North St. Louis, but you offset that with the radio. We defeated them with the school board. I still got my sign on my van. I've been blowing my horn all day, thanking God for the victory, because I feel like we got our city back.
Yeah.
And also, I'm over in the third ward. You know, I'm the one with my husband. I have six children.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting to keep our home against the Lutheran pastor with Bosley.
Okay.
And John Schmicky.
Okay, how'd y'all do?
My court date is April 24th. Even though I took a date out, my son, I'm 12 years old, we got out here from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning.
All right now.
Monday night, passing flyers out. Then we worked at the pole all day.
All right now.
And Bosley was at one corner, and I was at the door being sweet to the people,
right,
giving them the truth.
All right.
But I want to let you know also, I was in Jefferson City at the task force,
where Barbara Geisler was sitting there on TV, and she shows a picture of all North St. Louis, say, I'm here on behalf of Mayor Slay, say, sir, we need eminent domain to possess this property in North St. Louis. I'm letting everybody know North St. Louis, all of the property in North St. Louis is in danger, and at least 10 of the aldermen are willing to blight the land for the mayor. We've got to recall. We've got to sign the initiative. We've got to keep fighting. The school board, the Slay, the aldermen, all that's a big bundle and collected together, and we've got to fight.
All right.
We've got to show them that black people do vote. We're not illiterate like they think. This is one black woman with six children that have come out of her home, and I'm in the streets every day knocking on doors, fighting for what's mine, and we should have a right to keep our home and keep our school building.
All right.
And I want to tell you, thank you for the coverage. Keep on doing the good work.
All right, now you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Will.
Yes, I'd like to ask you a question. I'll
sure.
make a statement.
Sure.
In reference to the Congress lady, Ms. Kenny, what's the purpose of having a badge?
Of having a, you mean a pin or a badge?
A pin.
Well, I think that the purpose of it is that every place is not like a checkpoint place. There are places that she goes throughout the Capitol all of the time that the pin serves a purpose for people that may or may not know who she is. In a place like that, a checkpoint place like that, the people that are supposed to be guarding our White House or our White House, our halls of Congress, their job is to know what every United States, because they're supposed to respond to their needs. And if they don't know them by face, then there's something wrong with a system that would put somebody in charge like that that doesn't know the face of the few hundred Congress people and the 100 United States senators. That's their job. And when someone walks through and identifies themselves as a congressperson, the first thing that you do is not to put your hands on them. Come on.
Thank you very much.
All right, now. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Earl.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
I want to come in on this. I've been watching this coverage, and they're having these tours at the stadium. And it's like, they're making it like if you're not a VIP or you don't know somebody, it's hard to get in, or you got to go to some kind of lottery system on the line to go and take the tour. I mean, the taxpayers, maybe we should have had a day or several days for the taxpayers to just visit.
Earl, you're absolutely, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to disagree with you 1,000%. The fact of the matter is that stadium was built for none of us except for those in civic progress. It's a publicly funded, you know, like they have the golf clubs where they don't allow
right.
women and black folks and Jews
right.
and other people like that. That's what that is. Only we paid for it. Normally the private clubs only pay for it themselves. So the fact that they are still making it difficult for anybody to get a tour other than a VIP, well, that's where you were born. It was born out of exclusivity and not inclusivity.
Well, I don't want to say it's time for Mayor Slay to go.
Bin time. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm Liz Brown. Check me out tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm going to be being interviewed on the Ken Dotson Show at 8 o'clock tonight here on WGNU. Check that out. I'm kind of interested to see what you're going to ask me. So check that out tonight. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place on Monday. Until then, stay strong.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. No deal yet, and who knows when the Senate will make it when it comes to immigration reform. ABC's Vic Ratner is the very latest from Capitol Hill.
They're bogged down for now, but Republican John McCain says backers of a bipartisan immigration reform plan are not giving up.
This fight's not over. We're going into recess. We'll bring it up and bring it up and bring it up. Until